అధ్యాయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజ ఆచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శివాన్ అభయచరణ అరవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నితిగా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామకి మాయపూర్ ధామకి మధురపురి ధామకి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామకి ద్వారకాపురి ధామకి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమానంద ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరవ నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపగదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంబికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పదాం సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామిని శ్రీ వర్షమానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాపసిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయ దే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామిని గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపనో గౌరాయ దే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టాస జనప్రియ వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహాబలన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయ దే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే ంబోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ దివ్య వృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమంత్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ మన్రాధాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రేష్టాలిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనే గోభైర్గోపినాథాశ్రియేస్తున ప్తకాంజన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदं भगवदं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रदिदं पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवदीमष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वा मदसंधदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्रम् येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वत्र वेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुर्गा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् युष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रुतजला गान्धारनीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशवा पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानक केसरम् हरिगदा सम्बोधनाभोदितम् लोकैः सज्जन सर्पदैरहरः पेदीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारत पङ्कज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मुखम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गम् लङ्घयति गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्य अङ्गम् विदुसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
Last Sunday, when we were discussing this 18th chapter, after Krishna has spoken about Antaryami, which is Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Mayaya, then Krishna is saying Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsisi Shashvadam. Those two verses we have seen, and then we were discussing the next verse, which was that Idide Jnanam Akhyadam Guhyad Guhyadaram Maya Vimrushaidat Asheshena Yathechasi Tathakuru. Something very important to look at, because Krishna is saying that this knowledge is very confidential, isn't it? Rahasyam. Earlier he calls it as Rahasyam. Here he says Guhyam. If you remember, in the ninth chapter, Krishna said that Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyakshavahamam Dharmyam Susuham Kartum Avyayam. There also he mentioned this. You will notice one thing here. Again he says that, and then again he says in the next verse the same thing. If you notice that? Sarva guhyadamam bhuya. Why did he do this? Why did Krishna say that? This is an interesting question, isn't it?
that we know that this knowledge of the self, which is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying it's a very confidential thing. Mainly because that if you have studied this verse and you have understood it through the mind and intelligence, and someone who hasn't studied it and who hasn't heard about it, we are all in the same state. Only when you realize it, that confidentiality has gone then. Up to that point it is confidential. But Krishna is saying twice this. See that verse 63 and 64. There seems to be something very particular about that. Krishna is pointing out. We saw there that that this knowledge will only have its effect when Antaryami inside comes into action. That's where everything happens. This is why it is so important. That Guhyal Guhyavaram, it says, confidential of all the confidential knowledge is this. Why? Because it's Antaryami's decision to accept it. If Antaryami accepts it inside, then you have got it. Not through your mind, not through an intelligence. This is the most important principle in the Shastram. Shastram depends on not on your mind or intelligence. And you will see, Bhagavad Gita, how complex it is. When you go after this, we have mentioned before also, in two places Krishna said, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mama vivshasi yuktam me atmanam mat parayana in the 9th chapter. And here, little later, Krishna will again say, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mama vivshasi satyam de pratijane priyosi me. In two places, but there Krishna is using the word mind, is it not? Although we know very well that the mind is not the medium for transmitting spiritual knowledge. Mind is not the medium. That is very clear because you can understand that when you go into Sushupti state, there is no mind. So mind cannot be the medium for transmitting spiritual knowledge. That's the first thing. In spite of that, Krishna is saying there, Manmana bhavamad bhakto, manmana, manam, all to be given to me, Krishna is saying. Be absorbed in your mind. We'll come to that when you come to that verse. So, what we are talking about was, when we say Guhyal Guhyatama means that which is something that is not possible to capture with the mind and intelligence. That is what it means. Guhyal Guhyataram means something that cannot be captured with the mind and the intelligence. Because you can see, in this world, if you look around, even very, very difficult thing, much more than Bhagavad Gita, people are doing that with their mind and intelligence. Is it not? With the mind and intelligence, as I was talking about last time also. That even though very complicated, very difficult things, huge, huge project, massive projects they are running, and all group of people getting together and able to go to the Mars now, sending things to the Mars, and all sorts of things are going on. Going to the Everest, going to the moon, and going to the space. And even underneath the ground, what all they are doing now in the water, in the deep water. So, the thing is that this knowledge cannot be touched by the mind, cannot be touched by the intelligence. This is the most important thing to know. That is precisely the reason why Krishna is saying that it is too confidential. Unless you have progressed in spiritual life, and if you have got a little bit of realization of Atma inside, Atma's presence inside, and when you have started developing a relationship with Antaryami inside, then you will see Bhagavad Gita is working. But most of the people are not willing to do that. That is where the difficulty comes. For example, you can see that, they have this, what do they call it, the trying to find out the origin of the creation. They have started this experiment with the Hadron Collider in God particle, trying to find out that, isn't it? So, you can see there that if you are, they are trying to find out the secret of creation, how the creation has come, happened, through this collision, what they call it, isn't it? Now, if you ask him that by your actions, is it going to destroy the world because of this kind of things? If you ask the question, they'll say, oh, we didn't think about that. This is how they are. This is how these people are, who are into this kind of things. They say, we didn't think about that. Then we are not bothered. All we are interested is what we want to do. This is, so that means their answer is always very irresponsible. Not very responsible way, isn't it? So what they are talking about, that collider, and they say the collision has happened and they are trying to get some information. It's going on for years now, isn't it? So, and the newspapers and others, they will report about this in a big way. Such a big thing is happening. It's like this, that if a dog bites a man, it's not a news. If a man bites a dog, it's a news. It's something similar to that. Something similar to that, isn't it? So, if you ask them this question, with your this so-called collider, Hadron's collider, or what they call that, so, will it create any catastrophic effect in this world? If you ask them, you say, we never thought about that. That's not, we don't know anything about it, first of all. We never thought about that. So, they are saying that it is a very difficult thing. And they are saying it's very difficult. But, and it requires a lot of effort to develop all the scientific experiments and technology and all sorts of knowledge related to that. So, important thing about spiritual life is that if you say that a lot of effort is required, then, and if it is something that you can get it with effort, we would have already got it, this knowledge of the self. We would have already got it. If it, just the effort was the only reason behind it. Because what happens is, the more you put effort into something, your ego becomes very powerful. That is the subtle way how it works. The more you put your effort into something, the ego becomes very powerful, and that's what creates the thrill. It is that ego that creates the thrill. That is why people are able to engage in all these sorts of activities like terrorism and things like that. It's coming from that. There's a lot of thrill from their ego that get from that. And it is not easy, isn't it? When you have to engage in such things, we will not be able to do that. We'll not be able to do that. So why we are not able to do that? Because these things like planting the bombs, killing others, and shooting others, all these kind of things, we cannot do it. Because all of them is based on the effort that you are able to put into that. Effort you are able to put in that. But this spiritual life is not effort. Here it is surrender that matters. You see, it's a very important principle in spiritual life. Krishna is slowly taking us to that important point in spiritual life. The next 2-3 verses later, when we all agree that sarvadharman parityajyam amegam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvabhibhi moksesha. Spiritual life is not a question of effort. Spiritual life is a question of surrender. That key principle, to get that point across, that is why Krishna is saying this to us. That it is not how much effort you put into it. You put any amount of effort, you may not win that. So, that is why we are finding it difficult, spiritual life. Why we find spiritual life difficult? Because effort is not the one that brings the result. It is the surrender that brings the result. It is a question of sharanagati, and it's not a question of your effort. It's a question of effort. So, what is required is not a lot of effort. What is required is surrender. Surrender is what is required. So, because as we mentioned before, that because it's a question of surrender, we don't like it. What we like it, it is like this. Then remember the four things we spoke about. Prepsa, Chigirsha, Jihasa, Jinyasa. The four things. That means that we want to become something. We want to become something. And we like to do something and get the result. And we want to become something. And we want to know something. And we want to give up something. Now, when Sharanagati happens, those four things disappear. There will be nothing there in Sharanagati. There is nobody who knows something. That person is gone, because ego is gone. All these four things, if you look, you will see, it is the effect of the ahankaram inside. It's ahankaram who wants it. So, to know something which is jignasa has gone, that means ahankaram has gone. And chikirsha, to do something and to get the result, that person has also gone. And to become something, that desire, prapsa, that is also gone. And finally, jignasa, jihasa, prapsa, and chikirsha. Jihasa, to give up something, that is also gone. How? Because the person who has to give up, who wants to give up, ahankaram wants to give up. That ahankaram has gone. With the exit of ahankaram, all these four things have gone with him. So, it is in that situation, Gaudavada Acharya says there in the Mandukya Upanishad, Abhaye Bhaya Darshinaha. Abhaye Bhaya Darshinaha. You reach a state of fearlessness and you are frightened about that here. So, what we have to understand is that this is not our topic here is, these four things, what we talked about, prayapsa, chikirsha, jihasa, jinyasa, those four things and our individual self, Atma, has no relationships. All relationship is between these four things and the ahankaram. False ego is the one which is relating with all these things. Relating with all. So if you do not have these four things inside us, that means there is no more inquiry inside us. What is there to know further? Krishna has told us you are spirit Atma. If you just accepted it, and there is no more further inquiry after that to become. There is nothing to inquire after that. To become that is the next thing. So, inquiring after something has to come to an end at this point in time. Inquiry is finished. Jihasa, that means to give up something. There is nothing to be given up. Because if you have realized you are Atma, what is there to be given up? Giving up is all before becoming Atma. When you are in the bodily state or the mental platform, you are giving up. But when you come to the platform of the soul, there is nothing to be given up anymore. Similarly, the other two things, to become something and to know something, all that has come to an end with this. So these four things, there is nothing to be achieved here. This realization has to develop. And that has to happen through very deep reflection. One has to realize it inside and experience it at some time as much as possible in during life, in our own life here. So here right now itself, what's happening to us is, because these four things are inside us, in the process of executing those four, that means in the process of jijnyasa, we are losing our attention on the Atma. In the process of to become something, in that process, our Shraddha is not going to Atma. All our Shraddha is going in these four channels. Jijnyasa, Jihasa, Prayapsa and Chikirsha. As it call it. The thing is this, that why it is said like that is, that there is nothing to be known here as such. Atma is inside everybody. Atma is full of bliss, full of knowledge. Atma doesn't require anything from outside. But that fulfillment has not happened. And therefore, what we have to understand is, the very nature of Atma is knowledge. Is it not? Vadandida tattvavidam tattvamya jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam is what is called as self. Knowledge of self is Atma. Knowledge of the Swarupam of Atma, or what we call as Atma, is nothing but knowledge. Is nothing but knowledge, it is. And Bhagavad Gita is a book of knowledge. But it's a book of knowledge. Although various commentators have spoken in terms of jnana, karma and bhakti. Bhakti is all the way through Bhagavad Gita. But primarily, Bhagavad Gita is a textbook of knowledge. Nobody can deny that. Even if you try to argue against it, it just will not stand. It will not stand. So, knowledge itself is the swarupam of Atma. And karma is concerned, whatever karma is happening, where is it happening? It is happening in the Atma. Is it not? Atma is the background in which all karma is appearing. It is executed, results are coming, And all these things can only happen if behind the scene Atma has to be there. Is it not? Otherwise, how can karmam happen? So, a silent witness to all our actions. Karmam comes from karma vasana, we agree. But if Atma is not there, where is the karma vasana? Where is the karmam? So, that is another thing. Because there's another third thing is that there is nothing to be given up here. Reason being, Atma on itself alone is complete in itself. You can't give up anything from Atma. That is why in the Ishopanishad, that first verse. Yeah, the Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Purnam Purnamudachyade. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnameva Avashishyade. Purnatvam is the nature of Atma. Atma is always Purnam. There's nothing you can add on to it, nothing you can take out from that. So you can see when we come to this stage in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to us that pure nature of the soul is that it is free from all these kind of imperfections, which mean jijnyasa, jihasa, prayapsa, chigirsha, all these things are disappearing from that. And there is no question of giving up when you are situated as Atma. In the stage of Atma, there is nothing to be given up. And therefore, the only thing what we can do at this stage is that that vastu which is available to everybody as their own soul, nitya siddham, that is permanently available to all of us, to know that it is not a lot of effort is required, but what is required is Krishna's grace, kripa. Kripa is required. And that kripa, that is what Krishna is saying here, that kripa is required. And what is that kripa? Kripa means that we are able to sit and go inwards, looking there. You will find there that able to follow up that ego which has come from Atma and constantly being conscious of that presence of ego inside, which when you put all your attention towards that ego, you will see it disappears because it's not a genuine thing. You can see in the deep sleep state, the ego is disappearing, the mind is disappearing, both are disappearing. Is it not? Now, so that is why, as the last word in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about this one thing called Sharanagati. Sharanagati is the thing. So, after talking about all yoga system, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, everything, Krishna is now saying about Sharanagati. About Sharanagati. Why? To prepare ourselves, to prepare us for that. For that Sharanagati. No doubt about that. So many sadhana processes are spoken. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti. And prepare ourselves for this Sharanagati. That means to make us mature for that. For Sharanagati. And unless we are mature, Sharanagati won't happen. Sharanagati won't happen. Sharanagati is not something we can do. Krishna has to prepare us for that. That's the only way it will work. In the Bhagavatam, you know that there are so many personalities who have done Sharanagati. Is it not? Gajendra had Sharanagati. Draupadi had Sharanagati. Ambarish had Sharanagati. Uttaradevi had Sharanagati. Many Bhagavatam commentators, they have compared these different Sharanagati. Why Uttaradevi's Sharanagati is superior to everybody else? That understandable, is it not? Look at Gajendra. We consider Gajendra as a prime example of surrender, isn't it? Sharanagati. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that a awkward situation in his life, Gajendra's life. Previous birth, he was Indrajumna, the king. And he had to accept this body of the elephant due to some prarabdham. And when he got this body, and then the Bhagavatam says that he had such a life in this world, and he is compared to a householder. Shobhramarshi compares the elephant to a householder. Grihi, he says. Grihi means that Grihastha, this problem will happen, especially when there is lot of wealth, fame, position in the world. Naturally, who wants to surrender? You feel all the glory of the life, isn't it? So that's what has happened to Gajendra also. He had so much force behind him, the family members, everything. But when, ultimately when he was caught by this crocodile is the prarabdham. Crocodile is the prarabdham in that story. When prarabdham caught him, he couldn't do anything about it. To show how helpless we are when prarabdham catches us. And how it will catch, it's very difficult to say. It can come in any form. Illnesses, poverty, death of close people. Everything can change in life overnight. Is it not? That you will know when you live through the life, you will realize it, how things can change in this very life, which can completely upset your whole balance inside. So that example particularly to teach us that his prarabdham came in the form of crocodile and caught him. And still, Gajendra's attention didn't go to Krishna. He thought about his people around him. They will help. He thought that what happens to all of us. We feel our shelter in the money, in the family, in the society and places like that. And it is not easy to take it out from there, because that's how we are conditioned in this way, in life. So Gajendra, what did he do? He surrendered. First he thought all family members will help. Nobody could help. They have all gone one after the other. And then he had his own strength. That also didn't work out. And finally, when everything failed, Narayana, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste, it came much later. So it was not a surrender in that sense that it didn't happen. It was forced upon Gajendra. He was forced to surrender and he had to surrender. So therefore, Gajendra's surrender is not first class. It's not first class. Then if you go back to Draupadi's case, Draupadi also didn't surrender straight away. Although had such close relationship with Krishna, what has happened to Draupadi was that she thought when she was put into a difficult situation in the assembly of the Kauravas, she thought Dhritarashtra will speak and do something about it. She had some faith in Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra didn't do anything. Then she had faith, Bhishma was there, Drona was there, all elderly members of the family. They would react to the situation when she was disrobed by Dushasana. They didn't say one word. They kept quiet. And many people say, there is no statement as such in the Mahabharatam, that because Bhishma did not say anything, that's the reason why he was put on the bed of arrows later. When he had to stay on the bed of arrows, it was Krishna's decision that he should have spoken at that time, which he didn't. And therefore Krishna said, you lie there for some time before you leave, and he was put on the bed of arrows for that. Now, Bhishma didn't say, Drona didn't say anything. Then she had five husbands, Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva. Nobody could do anything about it. Only she looked at all of them, whether any one of them is going to act. Nobody did anything. It was only after that she went to Krishna asking for help. Is it not? So even Draupadi Sharanagati is not considered to be the best. For this reason only. That you are, as long as we are dependent on anybody else in this world, or any of our strength like money or family or relations or anything, you can't have that Sharanagati. That's why Krishna is saying that before anybody have Sharanagati, I have to prepare him for that. He has to be properly prepared. Otherwise what will happen? We won't surrender. We will look for our alternative options, which is other things. Mahabali, what did he do? He is also one of the best surrendered soul in the Bhagavad. He also won't surrender easily. That is why that 3 feet of land which was being asked by Vamanamurti, first 2 feet he measured and took off everything. What is the 3rd feet? It is that ahangaram inside. Krishna swallowed him, that ahangaram. That is what Mahakrishna said, Mahanamurti said to him, show me where should I put my 3rd feet. Because Mahabali had this ego that I am the ruler of the 3 planetary systems. I can offer anything for a little brahmachari like him. So Krishna wanted to make sure that ego also. That ego, Krishna says, it is the ego that I want. I don't want your other 2 feet of land or anything. All I want is you, he said. It's you whom I want, Krishna says. And therefore you can see again that Ahankaram is what Krishna is after. It's our ego that is Krishna wants to smash it down. We have, and this ego is a too subtle thing. It's very difficult to, we can talk nicely in a polite way, humble way, but inside the ego is always operating. So Krishna is saying here also that Uttara Devi's case, that was her greatest virtue. She had Abhimanyu died and Brahmastram was sent to her by Ashwatthama. Uttara Devi had no doubt to whom to ask for help. Pahi bahi maha yogin deva deva jagalpade nanyam tvadhavayam pashel yatra mrityu parasparam. Look at Uttara Devi's intelligence. It requires, therefore, that Uttara Devi surrender is called jnana sharanagati. A person in knowledge surrendering. What is that knowledge? Knowledge is this. Uttara Devi knew that my husbands, they are also subject to death. How can they help me? Look at that realization inside. She didn't look to anybody. Her 5 husbands were there. Kunti Devi was there. And so many other personalities were there. She didn't go to anybody. Directly to Krishna. Directly to go to Krishna. Why? Because if there is one person whom you can take shelter, he has to be someone who has no death. And that is Krishna. And therefore, she had that intelligence. This is the reason why they say Uttara Devi's Sharanagati is superior to Draupadi's or to Mahabali's or to Gajendra's or anybody else. And this is why when the 10th canto was spoken, Parishad Maharaj says to Shivabrahmarshi, Madushchameya Sharanam Gadayaha, that am I not entitled to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Because why? My mother has done something for which I must get the result for that. See how the mother's action has helped the child. Parikshit says, on my own I have no qualification. But my mother has done something, therefore I am entitled for that. And Shiva Brahmarshi accepted that. You will see in the Bhagavatam at so many places, Uttaradhaneya is addressed as like that. Uttarasan. Not Parikshit, Uttarasan. Uttara is the most important personality there because of her strength. That intelligence to surrender to Krishna directly without going this side or that side. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam we will find there. Now, certain things like if you ask a question that what is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? There is always a question, isn't it? Answer is this. Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, because that's the most critical part in the Bhagavatam, where Krishna has spoken to directly to Uddhava. Ekadasham, there is no compromise. Bhagavad Gita, there is little bit of compromise Krishna has made with the truth. When it comes to truth, in Ekadasha Skandam, there is no compromise. That you will see when you go further and further. Everything what Krishna has spoken is always on the absolute platform. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is slight compromise has been made in few different places. That you will see. As far as the truth is concerned. So, coming back to this, Krishna is saying here, Idide jnanam akhyadam guhyal guhyadaram maya vimurusheidad asheshena yathichasi tathakuru. So, very, very confidential knowledge Krishna has. Arjuna, I have spoken, he says. Arjuna, I have spoken a very confidential knowledge. Then he says, Vimurishaitad asheshena yathechasi tathakuru. You should study this, you should think about it, vimarshanam. Vimarshanam means to study critically, very critically, scrutinize it. Not that, oh, I have told you, take it, because I have told you. Krishna never says like that. Krishna will always say, listen to this, what I am saying, and reflect on that, and very critically analyze it within yourself, and then if you like it, take it. If you don't like it, leave it. That is Krishna's way. Vimrishedadi asheshena yat ichchasi tatha kuru. Then after that you do whatever you like. So, So there Krishna has given that choice also, in spite of the fact that because the value of spiritual knowledge, Brahmavidya, the only person who knows Brahmavidya to that degree and realization is Krishna, nobody else. Krishna knows Brahmavidya and Krishna is Brahmavidya. So therefore, he has no difficulty in saying that. We, in our present state, we don't know the value of Brahmavidya. We know the value of all our degrees and all the other things what we have collected in this world. That's what we know, all the qualifications. Brahmavidya knows only by those who knows Brahmavidya know the value of Brahmavidya. So that is why this freedom what Krishna has given, nobody else has given. Yathechasi tatha kuru, he says here. So he says, look at everything and then decide yourself what you want to do. I have spoken to you the truth. And therefore he says, if you think that after all this now the instruction is over, no, instruction is not over. Because Krishna is saying here, guhyal guhyadaram, he says there, isn't it? Idide jnanam akhyadam guhyal guhyadaram. Why so much stress on the confidentiality of this? Guhyal guhyadaram. So many confidential things, out of that the most confidential of all that. So, just like in the Vedam, also in the Upanishads, all the Mahavakya Upadesha. Mahavakya Upadesha means, Mahavakyams are Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atman Brahma, Tattvamasi. These are the four Mahavakyams in the Vedam. And they come in the four different Upanishads, in the four Vedams. Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvavedam, Rigveda. So, when that Mahavakyam is given, like here you will see in the Bhagavadam, that Aham Brahmasmi is spoken at the end. Slowly he brings it to Tattvamasi, who Sukadeva Goswami Parikshit, between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. So, there, when that Mahavakyam is given, Mahavakya Upadesham it is called, the instruction of this Mahavakyam is finally given. Before it's given, the person who is giving it, he has to make sure that the other person is fully ready to receive it. Otherwise, it's no point in giving it. It will just go like anything else. That shouldn't happen. So therefore, Mahavakya Upadesham, when it's given in that way, that he makes sure that the other person is now completely clear of all the doubts and the Andaryami inside will accept it. The Andaryami in Parikshit's heart has to accept it. So Shukha Brahmarshi knows that. When he is saying all these things, he knows very well. He is not asking Parikshit to accept it. He is asking the Andaryami in Parikshit to accept it. If Andaryami inside accept it, then it is accepted. If his Parikshit's mind or intelligence has accepted it, it can fall again. That is the difference. If mind or intelligence accepted, that you know very well. Suppose I have accepted something in my mind, after some time I can forget it. That is a proof that it will not stay permanently in the mind or through the intelligence. So anything you accept through mind and intelligence will not stay. It will go one day. Is it not? It's going every day. Even when you go to Sushupti, it's gone. Is it not? In deep sleep state, it's gone. So what's the point in keeping something in the mind and the brain? That is no value. So therefore, this spiritual realized Brahma Vidya has to be accepted by our Andaryami inside. Only then it will have any effect on us. Otherwise, it won't have any effect. More than anybody else, Krishna knows that. After all, he is the person who is giving it and who is accepting it also. Speaker through whom it's coming is Krishna's. Andaryami is speaking, Andaryami is listening. That is why you remember that famous verse in the Bhagavadam. Kasmayedi vibhasiroya madhulo jnana pradiva pura tadruvayaja naradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina yogindraya atmanadat bhagavadradaya karunyadam tachodham vimalam vishokam amrudam satyambaram dhimahi. In that verse, that is what he is talking about. Kasmayena vibhasidoya madhulo jnana pradiva pura. This knowledge, Brahmavidya, has flown from Krishna to Brahma. Krishna spoke and sitting in the heart of Brahma, Krishna accepted. Sitting in the heart of Brahma, Krishna spoke as Andaryami. And sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi, Krishna accepted that as Andaryami. That is that relationship. This you should never forget it. When we come to spiritual life, these things have to be absolutely clear inside. Nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the intelligence. That has to be absolutely understood. Sitting in the heart of Narada Maharshi, Krishna spoke as Antaryami, Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Vedavyasa Maharshi, Krishna accepted Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Vedavyas, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Sukabrahmarshi, Krishna heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Sukabrahmarshi, Krishna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitting in the heart of Parikshit, Krishna heard Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that is why it is said, Satyambaram Dhimahi. That Satyambaram Dhimahi is always flowing in this way. We can't do anything about it. It is not in our control at all. But Krishna is saying, till the Ahangaram goes away from inside, your Antaryami won't respond to it. The only block that our Antaryami has got is this our Ahangaram. Why? We push the Antaryami away and we come forward saying that we are capable of doing everything. This is the reason when some devotees also, they do not realize it, that lifelong they have chanted the holy name. 40 years or 50 years, so many rounds they have chanted, and they are saying, we are still the same, nothing has changed. Why? This Ahangaram has not, instead Ahangaram has become stronger. It has become stronger. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. After saying all these things, he is saying, it is not over yet. That is that Sharanagati is the key to understand, not understand, to experience Krishna consciousness. Sharanagati is the key. And therefore he says here that Gita Shastram is going to conclude in another way. Look at the next verse. Sarvam guhyatamam bhuya shrunume paramam vacha ishto sime dridamidi tato vakshyami tehidam sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrunume paramam vacha ishto sime dridamidi tato vakshyami tehidam. Whatever Krishna has spoken in the last verse, idide jnanamakhyadam guhyad guhyadaram maya. Again Krishna is stressing that sarva guhyadamam bhuyad. He is saying sarva guhyadamam bhuyal shrunume paramam vacha. And most confidential thing and most auspicious thing, Krishna is saying shrunume further hear from me. Ishtosime dridamidi tato vakshyami dehidam. Because you are so dear to me, Krishna is saying tato vakshyami dehidam. Tato vakshyami dehidam. Now, when we read this, ishtosime dridamidi, we may think, oh, ishtos, you are such a good friend of mine, therefore I am telling you, I am doing this favor to you. That is not what that ishtosime means. That in the business world also people are doing. All these kind of things. That you're a good friend of mine, so I'm doing you a favor. But it's not in that way. This ishtosime. This ishtosime is because of that Arjuna surrender. That is that ishtosime. Remember when nobody else among the Pandavas had that surrender what Arjuna had. Is it not? When that is why Arjuna was chosen for Bhagavad Gita. Remember a person of Arjuna's status, how great he is that he was able to surrender like this. In the second chapter, if you look, remember? That if you look at the second chapter, you will see that when Krishna has been a little bit heavy on Arjuna in the beginning, that when he said to them that you have to study that relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, then you will see there that the before Krishna's instructions begin, when the very beginning that he says to him, Karpanya doshavahata svabhava prachamitvam dharma samoda chedaha. That is the seventh verse, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Dharma samoda chedaha. And yachrayitvam sam nishchidam me, nishchidam ruhidan me, shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. So you can see to become a disciple is not easy. That shishyatvam, Arjuna shishyatvam, shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. That surrender that has affected Krishna. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita came out because of that Arjuna's surrender. Like Uttaradevi's surrender, we got Srimad Bhagavatam. Because of Uttaradevi's surrender, it is not Parikshit's surrender. Uttaradevi's surrender, that is what qualified Parikshit. Of course, it came through Parikshit, that's another thing. But it was Uttaradevi's surrender that was behind it. Here, it is Arjuna's surrender. Why Arjuna? Because of Kunti Devi's surrender. Why Arjuna was offered? Kunti Devi's son. For this reason. So, mother's position is very high in those things. It is her surrender that has made Krishna to think Arjuna. And before that, if you look, you will see so many things Arjuna has spoken in the first chapter. But here, the whole situation changed. Karpanya dosha bahata subhava. Prachami tvam dharma sammota chedaha. Yat shreyaswam nishchidam bruhi tanme. Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Tvam prapannam. That Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna and saying to him, I don't know what to do. You have to advise me. That is the degree of surrender Arjuna had, and Arjuna was very straightforward person, is it not? No rajitvam. That's how this word Arjuna comes. Rajitvam means straightforward. He will say to Krishna what he feels, and never had any diplomatic dealings with Krishna. And later on also you will find when in so many instances how Krishna liked that Arjuna's surrender very much. And he appreciated that so much that he saying. So it is due to that surrender, Krishna is saying there, you are very dear to me. Not due to being a friend. So many friends are there, but that's not based on that friendship. So certain things you can't say to everybody. They're confidential. They are confidential. Mainly because the person who is hearing it should be matured in a particular way. In a particular way. He should not have any bad qualities in him. That is an important thing. Bad qualities should not be present in him. He should be a devotee. He should have some reverence for Krishna, feeling for Krishna. Only then you should speak this. Krishna is saying here, Arjuna, you are very dear to me. And that means you have to become dear to Krishna. That is when this science will be revealed. When we become dear to Krishna, then this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will be realized by us. Dridamidi ishtohi te hidam vakshyami. Krishna is saying, Dridamidi ishtohi, that because you are so firmly liked by me, therefore I will tell you hitam. Hitam vakshyami. Hitam, what is good for you, I'll tell you. Not priyam. Priyam you should not speak. You should say hitam to somebody. What is good for them, you have to tell them. Not tell them what is to please them. That should never be spoken. That is why priyam is always for us is to go to the world to enjoy. Is it not? Our nature is like that. Priyam is that. That's what like we like it when we talk about. That's why we like gossip. Because to go to the world and discuss all everything else in this world, that's what we like. So that is priyam. And similarly, to acquire many things in this world, that is priyam for us. We love that. And hitam is not to do that. Hitam is not to do that. For example, just like if you have a diabetic patient, we know sugar is bad for him, that person, isn't it? But he likes sweets. Now, if I bring a whole tray of laddus and jalebis and says to him, have it after all. You know, you may be sick, but it's only once in a way I ask you. You come to a house, but let me give you some nice sweets. And I give him all the sweets and tell him to eat. Is that hitam or is it priyam? That's priyam it is. It's not hitam. It's not hitam. So therefore, knowing somebody's hitam and to do the right thing, that requires that knowledge. So that is why Krishna is saying here that pathyam. Pathyam means that what is restrictions. Just like in Ayurveda, when you have a treatment, there is pathyam. Pathyam means you are restricted from certain things. Dietary restrictions. On sleep, there is restrictions. on exercising their wrist restrictions, moving around. All these are part of the treatment. So Krishna is saying here, I will tell you this with the restrictions, a lot connected with that. Sarva guhyadamam bhuyal. Krishna is saying, Sarva guhyadamam bhuyal. Shrunumei paramam vacham. Ishtosime dridamidi tato vakshyamite hidam. Tato vakshyamite hidam. So, he says to him that Shrunume paramam vaja. Shrunume paramam vaja. The ultimate truth. Krishna is saying the ultimate truth. Why? Ishtosime dridamidi param tato vakshyamite hidam. So, question will come, Krishna, haven't you said all these things before many times? What's right thing? And why? Yes, it's been spoken. And therefore, Krishna is saying, this is the reason I've spoken all this. But I'm going to tell you again. That's what that word bhuyat means. Bhuyat. Again, I'm going to say, paramam vajaha. Prakrishtam. Prakrishtam means that. That here again, there because I'm pleased with your, I'm because you are so ishtam. In other words, ishtosime. Ishta means Krishna likes him, likes Arjuna. Why? Because of the surrender. Because of the surrender. Now, let's look at the next verse. Manmana bhavamad bhakto.
Manmana bhavamad bhakto.
Madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Mama veshisi satyante.
Mama veshisi satyante.
Pratijane priyosime.
Pratijane priyosime.
Manmana bhavamad bhakto.
Manmana bhavamad bhakto.
Madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Mama veshisi satyante.
Mama veshisi satyante.
Pratijane priyosime.
Pratijane priyosime.
Pratijane priyosime. Manmanav homad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mamaveshisi satyante pratijane priyosime. Pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. My dear friend. Now, this verse naturally will bring this question. That if mind is the thing that manmana, Krishna saying it, very specifically there is manmana. So most of the people take it that I have to think about Krishna all the time. And we know that it is not possible. Is it not? Who can think about Krishna 24 hours unless, even if you practice it, it is not so easy, especially while in this world we have so much vyavaharam going on side by side. With all the vyavaharam that is working, it is impossible to be in that manmana. Then why did he say this manmana? We'll understand that better. So, all of them what Krishna is asking there. Manmana bhava. In other words, make the mind full of Krishna. Fill it with Krishna inside. Mad bhaktaha. Krishna is saying there that develop bhakti. Develop bhakti towards me. Madhyaji. All are these things, isn't it? Manmana, bhava madbhaktaha, madhyaji. Madhyaji means all everything life should be a yajnam. Yajnam is yajanam. Madhyaji means all work is for Krishna. Yajanam. Yajanam means all the yajnam. It has to become a yajnam. All the work has to become a yajnam for sake of Krishna's pleasure. In the Upanishad, in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, 1000 names of Vishnu, you will see there. Yajnyo, yajnyavidir yajnyam, yajnyato, yajnyavahana. There is a whole thing. Yajnyovai Vishnu. And yajnyam is Vishnu. Yajnyam is not different from Krishna. So keeping that in the background, Krishna is saying this. That madhyaji. Yajnyam is Vishnu. And everything is Vishnu. Everything is Vishnu. And then he is saying there, Ma madhyaji mam namaskuru. Ma meva namaskuru. and continuously keep paying obeisances to me. Now these two things, keeping everything in the mind, all the time Krishna in the mind, all the time paying obeisances to Krishna. These two things, you know, from practical side, it is not so easy, isn't it? It's not so easy. It won't happen so easily. And when it is like that, suppose I have been doing this, but in the middle of that, I died. Body is gone. I want to do this, I want to do it all the time. But before I became perfect in that, the body is gone. So what to do then? That question comes, is it not? So, mamaveshyasi priyaha satyam. So Krishna is saying here, I'll give you a promise. What is that? Pratijani priyosime. That in every shastram, in order to give you the final verdict, when the verdict is given, it is quite usual to say that it is the satyam. It is the satyam. At the end they will say satyam. Bhagavatam also you will see satyam param dhimahi at the end. Is it not? Satyam param dhimahi. Here also Krishna is saying it is the satyam. Like that. So this is normal in all the literature, Vedic literature. In the Puranam, Shivapuranam, also I think it is in the Skanda Puranam also, Lord Shiva is instructing transcendental knowledge to his son, to Subramanya, Kartikeya. He is giving the instructions to him. And there also he will say, Satyam, Satyam, Satyam. What I am saying to you is, Satyam, 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 he says. Three times he says like that. So point is, if you have accepted it properly, you will become free and you will realize the truth. You will realize it. That is why it's this three times statement. If you accepted it properly, you will become free and you will realize the truth. You will realize the truth. So that in the similar way, Krishna is saying here that the pratijani priyosime. Pratijani priyosime. In other words, like a declaration it is. It's like a declaration. What is the declaration? Declaration is that keep your mind absorbed in me, or in other words, that relationship, connection between you and me, and all the yatnyam or work, what you are doing, do it for me. Do it for me. And always, always be free from that, holding on to that ego. Holding on to the ego. That means to remain in this world, completely forgetting in this world. Completely forgetting the world, you have to remain in this world. Forgetting this world. In that case, Krishna is saying, you will come back to me. You will come back to me. Or you will go back to Krishna. You will go back to Krishna. So, practically, what Krishna has spoken here is not much different than the Bhagavata Dharmam verse in the Bhagavatam. Which one? Kayena Vacha. Kayena vaja, manasendriyerva, buddhyalpanava, prakrite svabhaval, karodi yadyat, sagalam parasmai, narayanayeti, samarpayami. There, kayena vaja manasa, manasa was spoken. Here Krishna, that same words in another form is this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita when it comes, it has come in this way. Kayena vaja, manasendriyerva, buddhyalpanava, prakrite svabhaval, karodi yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanayadi samarpayami. It is that same words Krishna is saying here. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajima namaskuru mamaveshe satyande pradijane priyosime. So, if it is like that, you will ask the question, I have got so many other things to do in this world. It's not only pleasing you, my job here. I got other things to do as well. What should I do with that? That question will come. So, Krishna is saying here that if you completely take my shelter, completely, then I will tell you one thing, Krishna is saying. That is why, hitam ishtosime, he is saying there, that it is very confidential thing. this what Krishna is saying here. In other words, generally you can't talk this particular thing to everybody. Particular thing to everybody. Because this is spoken after speaking the whole of Bhagavad Gita. This secret. Manmana bhavamadbhatto madhya jimam namaskuru mamaveshi satyande pratijane prayosime. As Krishna has spoken before, it is very confidential and therefore it should not be spoken to someone in the beginning. It should only be spoken at the end of Bhagavad Gita. That is the, because suppose he has gone through the whole Bhagavad Gita well and in his a certain maturity he has reached inside, then if you speak these words to him, it will make some sense to him. So, because we don't do that, often many people get deviated from this and they will leave. They won't take Bhagavad Gita seriously. Because if you understand or accept this in an immature way, the proper way, if you have not accepted it, even though you have understood the meaning of the words, you will get... go away from the spiritual life. You will leave spiritual life and go away because you have not properly come through the Bhagavad Gita in the proper way. That is why this verse, what Krishna has spoken now, manmana bhava madbhakto, that should only be spoken after that person has completely heard the whole Bhagavad Gita. And a certain maturity has developed in that person. After that only, this word should be spoken to him. Not day one itself, because this is our problem. Often what we do is we say, you don't have to understand anything else. All you have to know is this one thing. Surrender to Krishna. Nobody will surrender like that. It's not going to happen. And that surrender won't be proper also. That is Krishna's point. That understand what Krishna has spoken before and then after completely studying Bhagavad Gita and listening to whole Bhagavad Gita, what we have spoken till now, after that if this verse is heard, it will have its benefit. Because you have to reach that state willing to accept that Krishna's authority, what Krishna has spoken there. So as a preparation for that, Krishna is saying, keep your mind absorbed in me first. And all do all your karmam for me. Mal karma kradam al bhaktaha. Earlier also Krishna sent these something things like that. Remember? Mal karma kradam al paramo. Mal bhakta sangavar jidaha. Nurvaira sarvabhudeshu. Yasamami dipandava. 11th chapter. Last verse. 55. Yeah. 11:55. So you will see certain things Krishna has indicated before. Mal karma kradam al parama. Mal bhakta sangavar jidaha. But here, that is after the universal form. So, karmam, mal karmam. Here also Krishna is saying exactly the same thing. That madhyaji, all karmam for me. So, and keep the mind in me. But, when he says, mad bhakto, that is where all the difficulty is. Krishna is saying mal bhakto. Mal bhakta means that your ahangaram, you have to keep it checked. Keep it checked. And that ahangaram, Krishna is saying, you keep that ahangaram in me, in Krishna. To offer our ahangaram to Krishna, like Mahabali did, finally. That is the most difficult thing of all the other things. That to hand over that ahangaram to Krishna. Hand over the ahangaram to Krishna. Ahangaram, remember we discussed ahangaram. Ahangaram is the whole thing. What we call ourselves today by some name or by some form is that ahangaram. Is it not? That ahangaram in the Sanskrit grammar also, it is spoken and it is present inside us in so many different forms. So many different forms it is me, mine. Like that, it goes on. There is a verse to explain that. I mentioned this verse also before. Krishna rakshadumam charachara guru. Krishnam namasye sada. Krishne neiva surakshidoham asakrat. Krishnaya dattam mana. Krishnadeva samulbhavo mama vibho krishnasya dasosmyaham krishne bhakti achanjalastu bhagavan he krishna tubhyam nama. What is this verse talking about? Is this ahankaram or my ego, me, it has its movements inside, isn't it? Ahankaram keeps moving in different ways. Me, mine, all these are the different movements of the ahankaram. So, in a similar way, that in the Shastram they call it as vibhakti. Vibhakti means, which is opposite to bhakti. In seven different ways, our ahankaram moves. Me, mine, to me, and to him. In this way, this my movement, me, is connected in seven different ways with the world. With the world. And so this movement, all this movement, you are turning that in relationship with Krishna. Me, mine, for me, by me, and for someone by me. And all these things are the movement of the ego. The ego, what is inside us, is moving at different ways. Krishna rakshadumam charajara guru. That using the word Krishna and the word ahankaram, false ego, that verse was compiled to make it understand. One by one, you have to look at that. Krishna rakshadumam charajara guru, beginning from there. So, the same thing Prahlada says also. I don't know whether you have noticed. Prahlada Stuti, if you look, you will see in the 7th canto, there is a verse, Prahlada's prayers. Prahlada's prayers, where he says the same thing he mentions there. 9th chapter, 7-9. Verse 20. It is the same thing what Prahlada is saying. Yasmin yato yarhi yena cha yasya yasmad yasmai yatha yaduda yastapara parova bhava karoti vigaroti prathak svabhavam sanjodidastha agilam bhavata swarupam. See that? I don't know whether you have what the translation is in the book. I'll never read through, but let me explain that a little bit more, because my dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining goal are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Now, these different things is the movement of the ego. This is what he is talking about. It's the movement of the ego. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. Manifestations of you. So, yasmin yado yarhi yena cha yasya yasmal yasmai yatha yadayastat aparaparova bhava karodi vikarodi prathak svabhava sanchoditam tad akhilam bhavata swarupam. Translation won't be sufficient for that verse to understand. Krishna is saying, Prahlada is also saying here exactly the same thing, that all these things are bhavata swarupam. Sanjodidatta lahilam bhavata swarupam, it says. That verse finishes like that. Sanjodidatta lahilam bhavata swarupam. Everything is you, it's saying. Everything is it's you. So, that means that when it comes to Krishna, our ahankaram is finished. Once we have reached Krishna, this is self-inquiry. Prahlada puts it in another form. That's all. When you get to Krishna, ahankaram disappears. And ahankaram has got this manifestation in seven different ways. Sapta vibhakti, they call it. So, Krishna is doing everything. Yasmin yado yarhi yena cha yasya yasmal. The verse, if you look, you will see there. What is this ahankaram? Ahankaram is another force that has come from the same Atma, Antaryami. Where is Ahankaram coming from? Antaryami, isn't it? Like the mind, like the intelligence. It's also another force that's come from the Antaryami. And only problem is that when he comes, he starts operating in 6-7 different ways. In different ways in us. And that is that vibhakti, what we call it as me, by me, for me, he, for him, all these kind of things. So, Prabhupada is saying the same thing as a vibhakti. Yasmin yado yarhi yena ja yase yasmal. In that verse. And bhava karodi virodi pratak swarupam. Yasmin yado yarhi yena ja yase yasmal. What's the verse number? 20. 7, 9, 20. Yeah. Yasmin yado yarhi yena jayasayasmal yasmai yatha yadudayastavara parova bhavakarodi vigarodi prithak subhavam. Prithak subhav means this different subhav, different nature of the ahankaram. Ahankaram acting in different ways. Bhava karodi vigarodi. And different bhavam that's coming from this prathak subhavam in us. What is that? Sanjodidastha aghilam bhavata swarupam. If you bring them all together, it is Krishna's manifestation that is, that ahankaram. This is to tell us that jiva, which is addressed as ahankaram, is nothing but Paramatma's another manifestation in us. Another form is disappearing. And you can see that because as soon as you go into deep sleep, he is gone. He is not there. That itself shows that it's a false thing. This ahankaram is a false thing, which is only present in the vacant state and in the dream state. In the deep sleep, he has no existence. Is it not? So, Krishna, here, Prahlada is saying, bhava karodi vigarodi pratak sabhavam sanjodidastha aghilam bhavata swarupam. It is Krishna swarupam it is. The sanjodidastha aghilam bhavata swarupam. There is nothing here except Krishna. There is nothing here except Krishna. And Krishna is manifesting in us in the form of jiva, which is another aspect of nothing but ahankaram. And that ahankaram has got these different activities. Pratak subhava. Pratak subhava means multi-faceted activities. Yasmin yado yarhi yena ja yase yasmal yasmai yadham yaduda yastavara parova bhava karodi vigarodi pratak subhavam sanjodidastha aghilam bhavata swarupam. Because Krishna's point is that everything is coming from Krishna. Origin is from Krishna. Therefore, send it back, everything back to Krishna. And able to do that, that Krishna is doing everything, everything is coming from Krishna, and offer everything to Krishna, and to be dependent on Krishna, and to live in this world in that way. And that is Bhagavata Dharma. It is a simple thing. To explain it, it takes time, but in reality, that's what it is it not? Where is the body coming from, mind is coming from, intelligence is coming from? Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrute subhaval karoti. Yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanayad samarpayami. That, exactly that verse is this verse in the Prahlada's prayers. So, the proper understanding is that everything is coming from Krishna, so everything must be offered back to Krishna. Offered back to Krishna. Our mind intelligence, where is it coming from? It's coming from Antaryami inside. So, after that Bhagavata Dharmam, what Krishna has spoken in the Ayodhya Skandam, that is, bhakti is nothing but a preparation for that, of making everything, offering back to Krishna. After saying this, Krishna says, sarva guhyatamam. So, this is that sannyasam Krishna is talking about in this chapter. Sannyasam, which is sarva guhyatamam, most confidential. And therefore, this chapter is called sannyasa yogam. Sannyasa yogam. Offering everything back to Krishna, including the ahankaram. In the, this verse particularly is important in the Sri Vaishnava tradition. They take this verse, very important, these coming verses. Because in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, when the Ramanujacharya's sampradayam, when they want to talk about Krishna, they will use these words as a very important verse. And their sannyasa verse is also this verse. They use this verse as a, while giving sannyasam to people. And so, that means a devotee who has become Krishna's, Sharanagati is important for them, in their words. And, or a devotee who has become Lokabahya, who has come out of the world. Yes. And that's such a great devotee. And that person, his Bhagavata Dharma, what it will be like. And that is what Krishna is talking about in this verse. It's talking about in this verse. The commentary on this verse is long on this. In the Shankaracharya's Bhashyam also, it's a very long commentary on that. But on a simple level to understand, that in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, that they all, when they want this, when particularly when Ramanujacharya was here in the world, they wanted initiation from him. And they struggled, many people struggled very hard to get it from him. This verse, what is being spoken. And Ramanujacharya had one disciple who was very highly scholarly. And Ramanujacharya didn't give him this initiation into this verse. Because when you come and you hear that from Ramanujacharya, naturally it will have its effect, isn't it? So Ramanujacharya decided not to give it to him. He kept it back from him. And on the other side, he was a highly scholarly person and very learned and really advanced soul in spiritually. And this verse is their main instructions. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, what they have done is that in Bhikshugita there is a verse. That's a verse is given to the sannyasis. Paralpanishta, that verse, that is a verse they use. From the Bhagavatam they use that verse. Edamsam astaya paralpanishtam adhyasidam purvamair maharshibi. It is from Bhikshugita, that verse is coming. Last, at the end of it, you will see there. Yeah, 58, 57. Edam samastaya paralpa nishtam adhyasidam purvatamair maharshibi aham tarishyami durandaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva yeva. This is the verse used in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati started giving this verse as the sannyasa verse for the sannyasis, for them. That to be completely, similarly like here, in the Ramanuja tradition, this Sarvadharman Parityajya verse is used. So, what happened was that this person, who was Ramanujacharya's disciple, he kept asking for initiation into this verse. Ramanujacharya said, no, it's not time yet, he said. He kept delaying that. When the time is right, I'll give it to you, he said. So Ramanujacharya's spiritual master, Tirukachinambi, he was living, and Ramanuja had studied Shastram from three different people. Yadav Prakash for a long time, Tirukachinambi, and there is one more, the personality from whom he has studied Shastram. So this Tirukachinambi, he was a very poor person from whom he learned Shastram. Poor in the sense that he had a daughter, and this daughter was married, and she was not comfortable after getting married there was a problem between the daughter and the mother-in-law. Everywhere same problem. Mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. Daughter happened to be Tirukachinambi's daughter. And the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law didn't get on very well. So she was struggling with that relationship. And what was happening them days that she had to bring water from a long distance. Tamil Nadu is not particularly very well with the water. Water, there is always a problem there in Tamil Nadu. They had many times they had drought and all other things. So she had to bring water from a long distance for the kitchen work and all other things. And she was struggling with her physically. It was the most difficult for her. So when it became physically very difficult, she went back and complained to her father, Chirikachinambi, that I'm finding it very difficult. I have to bring this water from such a long distance. They didn't have a well close by. So they had to go a long distance. So what Tiruchinambi did was, he told her, you go and tell Ramanujacharya. Go and tell Ramanuja about this. So, and Ramanujacharya is a sannyasi. and Tiruchinambi is a householder, and he's sending his daughter to go and tell Ramanuja and let him sort it out, he says. And so there was some reason obviously behind that. So she goes and says to, it's a family problem, isn't it? And you are going and saying this to Ramanujacharya, it's a sannyasi there, dragging him also into it. So anyway, this young girl, she went to Ramanujacharya and told everything to Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya, when he was listening to all these things, this caller, whom I was referring to, who wanted these instructions from Ramanuja, he was sitting there. He was sitting there and listening to everything what was being spoken. So when this was all spoken, Ramanuja's intelligence, I'm saying, he just looked at that person. He got the message. What did he do? He got up, went with this girl to the house, and he said to them, I will do all the work. I will do all the work. Don't worry about anything. And from that day onwards, this girl didn't have much of a problem. They got a servant to do everything. And he is a very well known person, highly learned and scholarly, but without saying anything to anybody, he stayed in their house and started doing all the household work. All the household work. So that girl's husband and that family, they didn't bother who this person is. Somebody is doing the work for us. Maybe Tiruchinambi has arranged somebody to work. Something like that, they thought. They didn't bother as long as work is get done. So he lived there for a very long period of time in that house, doing all this household work, kitchen work, bringing the water, and anything what is to be done in the household life, he was doing all that for them. And they didn't know about it. Sweeping the place. You remember, normal household work, sweeping the place. You can imagine the villages, what it is like. It's not like in the modern days. It comes with all the machines in the car, with the hoover and everything. In the villages, it's so simple. Everything is so simple. Water, you have to physically drag the water out from the well. There is no Thames water, recycled Thames. Nothing like that. So everything is very simple, and at the same time, a lot of manual effort is required. And that was no compromise there. So anyway, similarly cooking. Cooking was not simple like what the way we cook, isn't it? Now everything is so simple today. Hardly you need any time to cook. Everything is in the cans or frozen, and all you have to do is cut open, and that too there is a machine to open the can. Develop such a horrible situation. And any time you go to the kitchen, it's full of machines everywhere. You have to know all the machines how to operate, otherwise you can't cook. This is the situation. So it wasn't like that for them. They had to buy the vegetables, they had to wash them, they had to clean, they had to cut them, everything. So much work. Now you have machines for grating. There is no machine, you can't find one without a machine. So it's different. So that means cooking does require time, and you need to know how to cook also. So here, what happened was, on one instance, this person was doing all the work, the one who wanted the initiation from him. In Tiruchinambi's house, this was happening. So there was a system in their house that another person used to come every day and read Bhagavad Gita in the family for everybody's understanding. So while reading, and he will talk about it for some time, every day it was a practice in their house. So once it so happened that one person who comes and regularly reads Bhagavad Gita, he was reading Bhagavad Gita and he was explaining something. And our scholar who was working there, he was listening to all that. He heard something, but he found some mistake in what he spoke, in his understanding. So he corrected him. He corrected this speaker who was speaking. And then there was a little bit of discussion about it, arguments about it. So when they discussed, they realized it. He's not an ordinary person. He's a very learned person, full of realizations and knowledge. So, when they knew that, up to that point when this incident happened, he had been doing all the kitchen work, all other household work, washing, cleaning, sweeping, everything. And many years have gone by now when this incident happened. It is after that, when they realized that this person was a very learned person, Ramanuja comes to know about all these things. Ramanuja called him back. Called him back and told him, gave him this verse to him. And wrote this verse to him. Why? That question comes, isn't it? Why it is taken too much time? Ramanuja understood that he had knowledge, but Sharanagati was not there. To create that Sharanagati in him, this is the way Ramanuja decided to. Ramanujacharya's point was that you have everything, but you have no surrender. So to make him feel forcefully, to get that feeling in him, he did this to him. He did this to him. We are not like that, are we? We will get one CD from here or some books from somewhere else. We'll read all that. We'll hear the CD and we think we have got it. What Ramanujacharya is saying to us, you haven't got it. You haven't got it. So, just like we can see among our devotees also, it's a quite a common thing that we say that, oh, we can get all the commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam in one book now. It's available. Major commentaries, 16 commentaries are available in one book, starting from Sridhara Swami onwards, all the other great commentators. Viraraghavacharya, similarly, Chitsuki, all other things, 16 commentaries in one book, it's available now. So we are thinking that if I study all that commentary and if I quote from that, I'll be alright. That is not right. That is what this verse is trying to tell us. It is pointless to study a lot of books. Books is not the answer to the problem. Problem is this ahankaram inside. He won't surrender. Instead, if you study a lot of these books, what will happen is this ahankaram will become stronger. It will go in the opposite way. Books are not the answer. Often you will notice this, how things develop in our own movement. It has happened in that way. That many times people are thinking that if I have got all the books and if I have studied all the commentaries, probably that will be the that's the way to go. So what you will get there is you will get the vachyartham. The meaning you will get of the words, lakshyartham won't be there. This was Ramanujacharya's point. Lakshartham won't happen. Lakshartham, in other words, swatmartham. Swatmartham means that experience of the self won't happen. You can study a lot of books. So, swatmartham, in order to have that, we have to, whatever knowledge and other things you have acquired in this world, you have to solder Sharanagati to it. Sharanagati, you have to solder it with that. You know, like the soldering you do in the electronics. This do the soldering, isn't it? In the computer you do this whole printed circuit board. It's full of soldered thing. It's soldering. That soldering you have to do with Sharanagati to that. Otherwise, all that knowledge, all that effort is all waste. Nothing will happen. Just like a scholar, you can say so many things. But unless that Sharanagati is not there, this all knowledge won't have any benefit from that. So that sadhana, what is required for that, that preparing us for that maturity, and that has to come through bhakti sadhana. Through bhakti sadhana, and little by little it has to happen. And other things you can get from the book. All other things you can get from the book. Because there is nothing what you can't get from the book these days, isn't it? But in order to have that experience, realization, or that shanti to come, and in that is the root of everything. The secret is this, that the ahankaram has to completely disappear and ahankaram has to be offered to Krishna. Completely offered to Krishna. And that will not happen so easily. It will not happen so easily. You can see, many, many years we have been hearing Bhagavad Gita. And so much we have heard also. And what is happening? Still this ahangaram is not changing. Ahangaram is getting strengthened inside. Is it not? Instead of that, like as though you have taken a tonic, it's getting stronger, the body. And the ahangaram also getting stronger. So instead of becoming ahangaram going away, we are keeping on doing a makeup for the ahangaram and making it more and more stronger. So how will this go, ahangaram? That is where all the problems. So that is why Krishna is saying here this verse, Manmana Bhavamal Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mama Veshesa Satyam De Pratijani Prayosimi, is that verse to directly hit the ahangaram. If you want to get the ahangaram out, Krishna says you have no other way except do all these things. So, you know, that will happen various ways, because this verse won't be effective till we have got a lot of kick in this world. That's what makes it happen. Just like that when you iron the clothes and make the cloth in the proper way, the trousers or shirts or whatever, when you iron it, yeah, it becomes frizz-free from all the creases, isn't it? Similarly, in life, you have to get a lot of beating. That is the ironing required. A lot of beating if you have to get, and that will make us more and more mature. Paripakvata, opakata will come. And otherwise what will happen is, we will seek glory from the world. We will seek glory from the world. That won't go away easily. In the particularly in the modern world, in the spiritual field particularly, this is the biggest problem. This is the biggest problem. Because you can see, nowadays adhyalpam or spiritual life means only for the sake of name and fame. It has gone in that way today. It wasn't like that in the Rishi's time. Rishis never approved that. They wouldn't accept that. For them, spiritual life is a serious thing. It's a question of surrender and realization. It is not recognition in the world, name and fame. That was not their way of they conduct the spiritual life. They were totally against that. You can understand this. We can't get any information about any rishis in the Bhagavatam or in the any Puranam. Majority of the rishis, there's a whole list of 400 rishis mentioned in the spiritual texts. If you list them all, there's about 400 lists there. Hardly, we have very little information about many of them. Very little information. Where they were born, no idea. And where they lived, no idea. What did they do, no idea. All we know is that they were rishis, and Krishna says they are my friends. Krishna says this to Rukmini Devi. Rukmini Devi teasing, when Krishna was teasing Rukmini, Krishna says to Rukmini, Rukmini, you don't like my friends, do you? They come to see me often with big beard and a matted hair, and with, if you look at their clothes, they don't look very well dressed either. And all they do, they'll come here, they'll sit in front of me and glorify me, and then they go back. And you must have seen them, Krishna says to Rukmini. So you can see that rishis are like that. That is rishi's nature, that they never wanted any recognition in this world. So, therefore, adhyalpam, if it becomes like that, for name and fame in this world, then it is not adhyalpam anymore. It is not spiritual anymore. Therefore, because it is to become something, they are doing this, isn't it? So, but if you have suffered enough in this world, in this life, you won't look for all these kind of things. You won't have time for all these things. And because what you want here is some shanti inside from this misery what you are living here, and that is the system. So on the other hand, people who don't have that experience in life, that is why in the early days sannyasam was never given to brahmacharis directly. They were drawn through that householder life to learn this one lesson. What does misery mean? Otherwise you won't know misery. Suppose somebody, some young brahmachari for a few years, and he took to sannyasam. What will he know about life? He would never know about it. It's not possible. Only when you live through the household of life, you will know what life is all about. Is it not? Then vairagyam won't come otherwise. It won't happen. So, so what happens is, when these young men, young brahmacharis, when they take to sannyasam, they take it like a career. That is a field to shine, sannyasashram. Another field to shine in this world. It becomes like that. Just like in the musical concert, you know how it is, that when they get excited and very, very absorbed in this, how it becomes, the concert becomes. Similarly, they want to become a big person in that field, in this field of spiritual life, and to get some award, recognition from the world, positions, all these things will follow that. But what Krishna is saying here is, that is all useless at the end. It will not help us. What will help us is, if we follow the process, and if we are fortunate enough, that Krishna prepares us for that and give us this realization in life, that is our good fortune. Not any other thing in this world. So, because otherwise, the whole purpose is self-defeating. It is self-defeating otherwise, isn't it? Better than that is to do some decent work in the world outside, earn the money yourself, and go through all the miseries and happiness of this world. There's nothing wrong with that. Rather than doing that, because that's misleading and that's happening a lot in this world. You can see that all the time. So many organizations, and there are so many people, you can't have this, Krishna is saying, unless you have got that knock in the life. You won't wake up inside. It's not possible. It's not Soyam Kaleya Kalo Jayadi Yatramaribo Sangirtanadir Sneha Dveshanuragi Prabhudibi Ratule Ashrame Yoga Vedehi. In Kali Yuga, that is the only thing what we have got, a lot of distress. You can see how distress is coming from all sides. So, on the other hand, if you have suffered heavily in life, then you won't look for all this recognition in this world. Is it not? If you have suffered heavily in this life, misery in life, then you don't want any recognition here. What you want to escape from here? You want some freedom from this misery, not the recognition here. So they want shanti, those who are in that direction, because they have got what they already got it from the world, what they have to get it. Because they are the people who have actually seen the proper form of this maya, what maya can do to us, isn't it? And if they have seen it, then they won't hang around here to get something done or recognized here. So, and maya is like this, she will hit you at the right spot where it has to be hit. That's the way she operates. So, therefore, he won't stand here to watch all this entertainment, what is going on in this world. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, shanti. Shanti is the goal. And when you start saying that, I don't want anything from this world, that is why when you are in the satsangam also, Krishna is saying here that everything should be connected with swalmartham, not with the vachyartham. Vachyartham is there to understand, but swalmartham, or the lakshyartham, is always on the top of the list. So, and that nature of that, swalmartha means that whatever we are hearing and this, whatever realizations that comes from that, it should be connected with the life and it should be discussed with each other. People should discuss their situations in life and it should be related to Bhagavad Gita's understanding. And then if you discuss it like that, Krishna is saying here, that satsangam will help. Satsangam is not a lecture. Satsangam is to understand that what Krishna is saying, giving to us this understanding that this with Brahmavidya will work for us when we are experiencing distress in life. Distress will come one point or the other. Or you have to, if you are intelligent, you should see others' distress and learn from that. That is a higher intelligence. We don't have to wait till it comes to us. But when others are suffering, from that we should be able to learn this lesson. What can come what can happen here to any one of us, isn't it? And that way our reflection should get deeper, able to go inward more, looking to it and see that there is not much sense in any of these things what's going on in this world, and able to withdraw from the world and to become Krishna conscious that way. So that in order to bring us to that understanding, Krishna has spoken up to this in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is after that, when he is completely ready for that, then you instruct him on Sharanagati. Only after that, Sharanagati to be spoken. Day one, a person joins the Krishna consciousness movement and you tell him Sarvadharma and Paritya, you won't make any sense to him. It will only come to him at a certain point in life, when he has suffered enough in life, understood that there is nothing in this world to look forward to, ultimately misery is going to come and it is going to hit hard one time or the other. And through close observation of this world, he is seeing the miseries everywhere and he becomes more inward. It is at that time that he has become more matured. Only at that stage, Krishna says, this verse will have any sense making. Which one? The next words. Sarva dharman parityajyam.
Sarva dharman parityajyam.
Mamekam sharanam braja.
Mamekam sharanam braja.
Aham tva sarva bhavibhyo.
Aham tva sarva bhavibhyo.
Mokshayishyami mashucham.
Mokshayishyami mashucham.
Simple, isn't it? Very... Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. In fact, this is the first verse everybody learns. For what? To tell others. Not for himself. In his realization, nothing. But for others, I have said all these things to him. And actually, it is difficult to say this because you know this verse will have any effect on us when you have been kicked and kicked enough in life. When you got it, you will know it, what it all means. It will make sense also. So, here, Bhagavad Gita talked about various things till now, about the importance of bhakti, jnanam, karmam, and Bhagavad Gita is also Vedam, isn't it? It's actually Vedam it is. Samasta Veda Artha Sara Sangraha Bhudam. That is how Acharya Swamiji calls it. Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam. So, it is Krishna's words. It is Krishna's words. We know everything. And in this 18th chapter, that Gita Shastram, that's how it is called, Gita Shastram. And and this Shastram, it's a Shastram. Shastram means, it's a Shastram of Brahma, Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is Shastram. And we have heard so far this Bhagavad Gita for last five years, isn't it? So, bhakti is, what is bhakti? That question will come. Now, bhakti is different. Somebody is a devotee of Shiva. Somebody is a devotee of Vishnu. Somebody is a devotee of Sri Parvati or Devi. And we may call Devi Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, Shiva Bhakti and all. But Bhakti, simple terms, it is experience. It's in realization, it is, isn't it? So, or in other words, when you are experiencing Brahma, Brahmanubhavam, that is Bhakti. Brahmanubhavam is Bhakti. When you start recognizing that Swarupam, that is Jnanam. Brahmam, Swarupam, when you recognize the Swarupam, that is Jnanam. When you experience that within yourself, it is Bhakti. That's the only difference between Jnanam and Bhakti. When you start recognizing inside that Atma is that Brahmam. Atma is Brahmam. Atma is Jnanam. When you recognize that, realize it inside, recognize it, that is Jnanam. When you experience that is Bhakti. That's all it is. The difference is very... It is all... That's why we say, in the bhakti process, you surrender and then you recognize. In the jnanam process, you recognize and then surrender. Two different routes you are taking, but getting to the same point. First, In bhakti, sharanagati is important. In jnanam, shraddha is important. That's the reason why it is like that. If you have God of shraddha in you, which we have discussed in the 17th chapter also, what is shraddha means? If the shraddha is strong, one day you will recognize that, what jnanam means. You will get that recognition inside. So, when you recognize, then you surrender, and that is bhakti. In bhakti, shraddha is not important, sharanagati is important. If the sharanagati is very good, you are surrendered to that degree, the sharanagati has happened, then out of Krishna's grace, jnanam will come to you. And bhakti will turn into jnanam. So, that's the way it operates. So that means that jnanam, when you recognize that swarupam of Atma as jnanam, then that is called jnanam. Jnanam means recognizing the swarupam of Atma. At the moment, I don't know what Atma is. I can say that it is consciousness, awareness, bodham, prajna, jnati. All are words in the Bhagavatam. They are all just words for me at the moment. Is it not? But the moment I recognize that verse, vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayat jnanam is what is paramatma, brahmam, bhagavan. All these three things are advayat jnanam. So when I recognize that advayat jnanam inside is my swarupam or my identity, knowledge is my identity, when I realize that is called jnanam. And when I start experiences that is called a bhakti. That means satya chitta anandam. When I recognize the chit shakti, then that is jnanam. When I experience the anandam or the bliss, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So that's the major difference between the two. So therefore, what you have to remember here is, when that bhakti comes, that is the time when the mind disappears. There is no more mind in that person. So, when your knowledge is centered around sense objects or any particular topic, then it is called mind. When the knowledge, let's put it like that. When your realization is centered around the topics, it is called the mind. It's called mind. And when that same knowledge becomes awareness of the truth, Krishna inside, as Antaryami, when it becomes like that, it is called bhakti. It's called bhakti. You know, see the difference? That means that at the moment we are studying Bhagavad Gita, is it not? We have spoken last 5 years now Bhagavad Gita, and so many things you have understood and keeping it in your head or mind or wherever it is, it's there. It hasn't come to any realizations. So at this point in time, it is in the mind. In your mind and brain and memory and everywhere. It's in all distributed there, in all these places. So when it is in that state, you have got what is called the mind. Mind is present there. But reason for that is, my experience of Bhagavad Gita now is in my mind and in my brain. A lot of verses and a lot of theory associated with that, what is spoken there. So therefore, that power inside me, which is coming from the soul, which is called the mind, which is nothing but chit shakti, but it is called mind at the moment. But once this has gone away, say for example, it's not anymore in my mind, not anymore in my intelligence. Instead, if it is in my realization, suppose it has become my realization, proper realization, then it is called bhakti. So you can see, when your knowledge about anything, if it is centered around objects, at that time, you will think about a personality. You think about a personality, or you will have some kind of emotions inside because it's connected with the personality. It's always like that. If there's a personality centered around personality, your mind is operating, there will be either ragam or dvesham. Ragam or dvesham. Or you may have envy asuya, or kamam, kopam, any of those emotions will be malsaryam, something will be there in relationship with a person if you look at. In relationship with a person. But when all these things have, when it has become centered around Krishna, there won't be any of these emotions. These emotions will disappear. These emotions will disappear. So that is when we experience this priyam or anandam, what Krishna is talking about. And so therefore, that anandam is the nature of this knowledge. Nature of this knowledge. So, when Krishna is saying here, manmana bhavamad bhakto, he is not talking about our ordinary conditioned mind, which is full of envy, pride, arrogance, ego, lust, anger, greed, all other combined things. That mind cannot execute bhakti. That mind cannot execute bhakti. For this reason only, that it is a mind at the moment. It's actually a mind. It is called a mind because of its very nature. That means it is centered around these problems. Ragadvesham, asuya, kamam, krotham, atsaryam. All these things will be present in that mind. Mind cannot operate without all these things. But when purification happens, that means it is, this realization is not in the mind anymore. Instead, it has moved on to the consciousness and it has become realizations. At that time, the mind changes its form. It is not mind anymore. It's not called mind anymore. It's not the mind. And at that time, it has become realization, which means that it not only in the waking state and the dream state, even in the deep sleep, it will have its effect. It will have its effect. It's a big shift for us at that time. That is why when we look at this personality, like Sukadeva Goswami, Rishabhadev, Dattatreya Maharshi, Jadabharata, and so many other personalities who have reached that state of perfection there, they had no mind. They had no mind. If you have a mind, you will be conscious of your surroundings, isn't it? Why? Because Shabadev, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see, he walked out of the house, people were spitting at him. People were passing urine on him. People were throwing throne at him. And he was a great king, Krishna's incarnation. So there, Shuka Brahmarshi says, that in order to teach the world avadhuta dharma, avadhuta state, what it will be like when you are realized in that way, that means if you have completely left the body, lost your bodily identification, and have come completely to the platform of the soul, Atma, then you can't care for the body anymore. You can't take this body seriously anymore. In fact, the very existence of the body you are not conscious of. The outside world is thinking about the body. Therefore, outside world thinking that by spitting at him, by passing urine on him, they can insult him. But he can't get insulted. Why? Because he's not in the body anymore. He has moved away from the body. So it is that state, that bhakti, is the bhakti Krishna is talking here. In this manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajivam, not the ordinary conditioned mind. What can our mind do with in relationship with Krishna? You see, this you have to become very clear. Because Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle science. The way Bhagavad Gita, like I remember I mentioned to you before, that Krishna is saying aham, 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 many, many things. Now if you start thinking personality, Krishna, personality, Krishna, it's a bit difficult because you won't be able to justify it in many places. Everywhere, wherever he is saying aham, 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 that aham is spoken from the platform of the Antaryami inside. Some places it is from the platform of Antaryami, some places it is from the platform of Brahma. As Brahma, all-pervading Brahma. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi. And Bhagavan, we are taking it because as a devotee, you accept that form and surrender unto him. But still, the underlying principle cannot change. That has to remain as it is. So, when Krishna is saying here, manmana bhava madbhakto, madhyajimam namaskuru, mam eveshesa satyam de, pratijane prayosimi, is in that state, when that bhakti has developed in the heart, to that degree, that there is no more mind inside. It is not the mind. It's called mind only when you have all these impurities there. Which impurities? Ragam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. All these impurities, when they are present, it is called mind. But once they have gone away, a stage comes when you have realized that the antaryami inside is your proper identity, and that relationship with antaryami is completely established through bhakti. At that time, that bhakti is the one Krishna is talking about here. Manmana bhava madbhakto. And at that state, that bhakti will be 24/7, continuously. It won't be like the way we are struggling today. For 10 seconds we are struggling to remember Krishna, isn't it? We say, oh, words, I have understood the words. But I can't, as far as execution is concerned, even for 10 seconds I am finding it difficult to remember Krishna, isn't it? So you can remember, otherwise these words won't make any sense. If you say to somebody, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajivam namaskuru, it is not possible. It won't make any sense also. It will only, this verse is possible only at that stage. When you have that, of course, happens after, as I mentioned before, Krishna has to beat us a lot, and she has engaged Maya for that. She will do the job for Krishna, and she'll do everything, smash us down, beat our ego down to the lowest level. And then after all that, when we open our eyes and start seeing things in the proper way, at that time, things will change. So, this, whenever we talk about this Manmana Bhava Madbhakto, don't take it directly in that sense, because it won't, it's not, if it is not practical, Krishna wouldn't say that. So the reason why it's not practical is that mind, although Krishna used the word mind there, generally in the Shastram, if it is called mind only when you have all the impurities there. Mind is nothing but chittavritti, thought waves, isn't it? Ragam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. All these are nothing but the mind. The thought waves that comes through the mind. When all of them has gone away from inside and you have become so pure, then what is present there? Only chit-shakti. There is no mind present anymore. Only chit-shakti is present. It is at that stage there is pure bhakti also, what is being executed. It's pure bhakti. And that is that state, is Krishna saying, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji imam namaskuru. But you know, when we are looking at it from the bhakti platform, you will only see it at it in a simplest way to start with. If the verse is inspiring you to do some sadhana, if the verse is inspiring you to do some to go to the temple, and if the verse is inspiring you to pay your obeisances, then it's okay. It's not doing any harm to you. But actual meaning of the words is a lot more deeper than that. It's not so simple. That's all I'm saying. That the verse looks very simple, isn't it? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji imam namaskuru. Because people will ask this question. I've become a devotee now. I've shaved my head. I've put my tilak. Put the dhoti on. I put my tilak on. I've taken the initiation. And I'm paying obeisances, everything. So what happened now? This question will come, is it not? It's not so gross. This verse is not so gross. This verse is too subtle. That at what level this verse has to is effective? It is in that level. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mam eveshyasi satyante pratijane priyosime. Because Krishna is saying it is the truth. Truth when? In that level it is the truth. Not in ordinary people like us. In our level, this can never be the truth at the moment. Maybe it may happen one day by Krishna's grace. So, that Swarupam is something we have to... These are explained in the... Ajaya Swami explains that in detail in the Bhashyam. He says there that these things will only be clear when you come to that stage, what it means. This verse will be clear. Otherwise, it won't be. So, Priyam Anandam. Priyam is, Anandam is the bliss that come, bhakti. That is Priyam, Anandam. That is a nature of the Atma. That means you are experiencing the self, what it means, not the body. We are enjoying the body now, experiencing the body now, and we want to understand these subtle verses. How can it be? It's not possible. It's not possible. Narada Maharshi, in the Bhakti Sutram, there is a sutram there. We have discussed that. Mugha Aswadhanavat. Remember that? Mugaswadhanavat. It is one of the verses in the Bhakti Sutram. When we talked about Narada Bhakti Sutram, Bhakti Sutram says this, Mukhaswadhanavat, he says. It is the beginning itself. Fourth chapter. Symptoms of Bhakti. Anirvajaniyam Prayamaswarupam. One definition of the Bhakti. And then it says that Mukha Aswadhanavat. We discussed this when we discussed that. When the Bhakti Sutra was discussed. So a person cannot speak. He is, dumb. Dumb. He can't speak. And you have given him a lot of sweets to enjoy. Laddus, jalebi, everything. He has eaten all that. And then you are looking at him, what he's going to say about that. He can't speak. Similarly, he cannot express himself, isn't it, because of his dumbness. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that bhakti is like that. You can't explain it to anybody. What does bhakti mean? It's very, very difficult. It is an experience inside which cannot be expressed to somebody else. Evam bhagavato rupam subhadram dhyayato mana nirvrutya parayaturnam sambandham nivartade. Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to the forest, Narada Maharshi says to him that when you start meditating on Krishna, when the form appears, your mind will become completely thrilled with that form. And it will not go away from that. Mind will get absorbed in Krishna. And that experience is very difficult to talk about. You have to experience it yourself. Otherwise you can't express that. Kojit drudandya achyuta chindaya kojil asandhi vandandhi vadandhi laukiga nirtyandhi gayandhi anishilayandhya jam bhavandhi tushnim parametya nalvuradaha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there is discussion between Nimi and Navayogi, in that discussion, you will see there that Khairi Maharshi says this. Kojid and the Achyuta Chindaya Kojil. Kojid Rudandi Achyuta Chindaya. Thinking about Krishna, the devotee is crying. In a natural way, he is crying. Kojil Hasandi. Sometimes he is laughing. Nandandi Vadandi Alaugigaha. He is paying his obeisances to Krishna, and he is not able to relate with anything in this world. Alaugigam. Alaugigam means not from this world. He is living in another world. Nirtyandi, sometimes he is dancing. Gayandi, sometimes he is singing. Anishilayandi ajam bhavandi tushnim parametya nirvridaha. That means he is also experiencing that bliss to such a degree inside. Krishna is saying that he is not remaining in this world anymore. So, just like the bee, which is humming all the time, when it goes to a particular flower to drink the nectar from that flower, when it starts drinking the nectar, it becomes quiet. Once it leaves the flower, it starts humming again. Is it not? The bees do that. So, similarly, Krishna is saying here that bhakti is like that. When you are experiencing bhakti, he can't speak what it is. It's an experience inside. Realization, in other words, coming from the bhakti. In the same Narada Maharshi mentions there, stabdo bhavadi, mano bhavadi, atmaramo bhavadi, na kinchit sanchari. In the same Narada Bhakti Sutram, he mentions about this, that what is that state, how it is like that, says that the yallabdhva puman siddho bhavadi amrudo bhavadi tripto bhavadi yal prapya na kinchid vanchadi na shochadi na dveshti na ramate no ulsahi bhavadi yal jnatva matto bhavadi stabdho bhavadi alma ramo bhavadi. This is the state of bhakti. This is the state of bhakti. So you can see this. Look at the words what he has spoken there and compare that with Krishna's in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to us also, Brahma Buddha Prasannalma, na shochati, na kankshati. Narada Maharshi says, that is the state of bhakti. Na kinchit vanchati, na shochati. He says, Saying no hankering, no lamentation. Na dveshti, na ramate, na ulsahi bhavati. And no vairam, enmity towards anybody else in this world. Yel yatva matto bhavati. After realizing the self, he is in an intoxicated state. Like the way our Jadabharata and Yadatatraya Maharshi and everybody else. That is that state. That's stabdho bhavati. He is stunned altogether, experiencing the self. What else? Atma Rama bhavati. He is completely absorbed in the self. Completely Atma Rama he is. So, in that state, what's happening is this verse. Which one? Manmana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mama vishya satyande pradijane prayosme. It is in that state, it is satyam. There it is satyam, not in our present state. Our present state is full of mind, is completely with ragadvesham, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. So at that stage, it's not called mind anymore. Although Krishna has used the word mind. Generally in the Shastram, mind is when we have all these impurities. It's called mind. Once it has come to this stage, it is chitshakti. It is chitshakti that's operating there. There is no mind in that person anymore. And because there is no mind, that is why they are like that. Who? Shukha Brahmarshi is like this, walking around without clothes on. He had no clothes on when he came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? If you say this to somebody, they will think, oh, he's not very... What can you do? When you have come left the body, then who can care for the body anymore? Body is not anymore something to be cared for. And same thing with the Jadabharata. No attached connection with the body. The Dattatreya Maharshi, same thing. When he spoke to Yadu, is it not? No body. He was lying. You can see they have drawn a picture also of him in the Bhagavatam. Lying down on the riverbank in Kaveri with no clothes on. Lying there. And Yadu is asking him, why you are so fat? And how you become, why do you look so happy and so, how do you say?
Stout
and healthy. You look so healthy. And you don't have anything. What is the secret behind that? So that's when he spoke to him, isn't it? About the 24 spiritual masters, what he learned and what he... See what realization brings to people. So that's what has happened to him. It has happened to Dattatreya Maharshi. It has happened to Jadabharata. It has happened to Rishabhadev and Shukha Brahmarshi. Of course, it has happened to them. And in the recent times, I've mentioned to you also Sadashiva Brahmendra's story. So once you reach that stage, then that is where this bhakti happens to them. So up to that time, Krishna is saying here that till that kind of bhakti comes inside, if how will that bhakti will come to a person? It may take a very, very long time. It's not going to happen overnight. Dirghakala Bhagavad Anusandhana Rupam. Dirghakala Nairandaryam, says Patanjali. That very, very, very long time. Dirghakalam. And Bhagavad Anusandhanam. Executing the sadhana bhakti and surrender. And that has to be experienced. Remember, some while ago, in the 55th verse, Krishna said, Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada Tadomam Tattvado Jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram. It is after that realization of bhakti comes to a person that he enters into me. Krishna says, you have become one with me. Vishade tadanandaram. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada. So, tattvajnanam, there is a long way to go in tattvajnanam at different levels of realization. Tatomam tattvado jnatva. By now you have understood the tattvam. Brahmabuddha stage is all finished. Tadomam tattvado jnatva, and then vishade tadanandaram, he enters into me, Krishna is saying there. So, so in order to so this is the last realization. That is what Krishna's point. Vishade tadanandaram. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi bhakti, proper bhakti, that's what Krishna is talking about. Abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada. After coming to Brahmabuddha stage and then realizing in tattvam. Tatomam tattvado jnatva. After that, that knowing that, realizing that tattvam, vishade tadanandaram. That means in that bhakti, he enters into me, he said. So that is the last stage. But before that, when we start, what is the first thing to do? In spiritual life, its first thing is to chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. For some time in the beginning, to do as much as possible for a while. To do as much as possible. And dirghakala nairandariyena dridabhumihi. Because any sadhana, in the beginning if you do for some time, it is not good. It has to be done for quite a long period of time. Especially a few years in the beginning, one should chant very sincerely. Sincerely means that fully understanding all these things, you should chant. You should chant. So, mind won't be listening. Because mind is like that. Mind will go somewhere else. But whether the mind listens or not listens, don't worry about that. Still, because that a lot will depend upon the gunam, what is inside. Satugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam. In spite of all that, whether it is satugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam, still we have to make this a habit of chanting the holy name on a regular basis. Regular basis. Initially, one has to do a lot, as much as possible. One allows that. But as you get older, this all has to be begun at much early days in life, not at the last time. But still, whatever time we have left in this world now, we have to utilize it. So the point is that the stages what Krishna is talking about, we shouldn't think day one, oh manmana bhavamad bhakto, I can get that stage. It won't happen. Saradharman paritija, these are all not for the beginner. After a long period of time, after practicing it very intensely, sadhana, and at the same time reflecting on the Gita Shastram very well inside, understanding the principle involved in that. And this way, one side sadhana, other side surrender has to go on continuously. And at that time, at some point in time, if not in this life, maybe next life or the life after, we never know. That is Krishna's decision. So when that happens, that you can see that this verse will make sense. This verse what we are now discussing. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru maam evishis satyam de pradijani priyosimi. So, when one practices like that, what will happen? The mind will, little by little, this anartham or impurities will move, go away, and that impurities is called the avidya inside. That is the avidya, jnanam inside. That avidya will go away. Because all these are chittavrittis, isn't it? All these emotions are chittavrittis. They create thought waves inside. Chittavrittis is also like a pulse. It beats inside. Dagam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, all of that. So if continuously, if we chant the holy name, it will, eventually you will start seeing that the holy name has a very powerful effect on this movement of the chittam. Chittam's movement. Chittavritti will come down and it will overpower the chittavritti. That means our thought waves. For example, suppose a person who has got a lot of strong emotions inside, just like anger or greed or lust or envy or whatever it may be, competing nature. These are all common in this world, isn't it? We want to be competitive, which is a very bad thing, but we don't understand how bad it is. That's the difficulty. In the Bhagavatam, what did they say? Dharma prajita kaidavotra varamo nirmatsaranam sadam. Nirmatsaranam means I'm not here to compete with anybody. I'm here to realize the knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. But instead, if you start making a competition in the spiritual life, then that's no use. So those impurities inside has to go. Krishna is saying that if you are chanting the holy name a lot, eventually what will happen is this holy name will take control of the mind to a large degree. That means these impurities will start slowly disappearing from within. They will not cause too much of a problem. Impurities won't cause too much of a problem. But remember, just because impurities are going away doesn't mean that prarabdham is gone. Prarabdham will still come and give you all the trouble, what it has to give. So that means all the difficulties of the life will be there. But because you have been chanting the holy name, the after effect of that is that this chittavritti will come down, and because of that, these powerful emotions won't react strongly. You'll be able to accept the things in this world in a very much more balanced way. So So therefore they say it is this, the power of the holy name, that if you chant that, and if you sow the seed of the experience of Krishna consciousness inside, just like a seed sprouts, and from that a huge tree appears. Similarly, this seed of Krishna consciousness, which is the holy name, and that is from that seed, it can sprout a huge tree of bhakti from that. But we have to chant the holy name a lot, in the beginning at least. A lot of holy name you have to chant. And that will, in due course of time, it will grow inside and it will kill all the other weeds, what is inside this. Therefore, somehow or the other, Krishna is saying, we have to connect with Krishna in some form. And yena kenach ubayena mana krishna niveshayat. Rupa Goswami mentions this, it's there in the Bhagavatam also. Yena yena pivayena mana krishna niveshayat. It is up to us how we want to connect with Krishna, whichever way possible, either through the holy name, or through satsangam, or through Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or through deity worship. But somehow or the other, we must remain connected all the time. That's the most important thing. So, buddhisthira bhavati bhavidum ishara padavalpam. They give any examples also in the, I think it is in the Shivananda Lahari also, Acharya mentions this, how important it is that this relationship with Krishna has to continue. Bhaktir Mahesha Pada Pushkaram. Buddhisthira Bhavidum Ishwara Pada Palmam. Shakta Vadur Virahiniva Sadas Maranti. Sad Bhavana Smarana Darshana Kirtanadi. Samohideva Shiva Mantra Japena Vinde. This is the verse in the Shivananda Lahari. Ajahn Swamiji is saying here that buddhisthira bhavidum ishvara padavalpam. That means in all your thoughts and in intelligence, you are absorbed in Krishna's words. Krishna's words, you are absorbed in that. Then, shaktavadhur virahiniva sadasmarandi. Just like a newly married girl, how she remembers about her husband and waiting for him to come home, in a similar way, the mind has to get absorbed somehow in the Krishna consciousness. And sadbhavana smarana darshana kirtanadi. This can happen in relation to relating with Krishna in memory. Smaranam bhav darshanam, by seeing the form, or kirtanam, through glorifications. Samohideva Shiva Mantra Japena Vinte. And by doing all that things, he says here, Anusandhanam means continuously able to flow towards Krishna, our attention, Shraddha. Our attention to go towards Krishna. So, the simplest process is this, chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. We'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvavanam. श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रियाविदरणम् विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनम् प्रतिपद पूर्णामृतास्वादनम् सर्वात्मासुभनम् वरम् विजयदे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नमामगारिभुदा निज सर्वशक्ति अर्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन कालाम् एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिज्ञानुरागाः प्रणारभिषुनीचेन सरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरिं मम जनं न सुन्दरीम् अम्बां जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदात् भक्तिरहैतुगि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुज किङ्करं पतितामहं शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूलि सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं विलदश्रुदारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरां पुलकैर्निजितं गदा वपु तवन्मामग्रहणे भविष्यति
युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगत् सर्वं विरहेण मे श्लिष्यवापादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विददातुलं मनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा मन्मनोभवमद्भक्तो मध्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामवेक्षसि सत्यं ते प्रतिजाने प्रियोऽसि मे मन्मना भव मच्चित्तो भव मद्भक्तो भव मद्भजनो भव मध्याजी मद्यजनशीलो भव मां नमस्कुरु नमस्कारम् अपि मा अपि मम एव कुरु एण्ड् कृष्ण इस् सेयिङ्ग् हियर् देट् दिस् guarantee what Krishna mentions in this verse, that pratijani prayosimi mama veshisi satyam de, that you will come back to me, is guaranteed. Krishna says, Ajari Swami says, evam bhagavata, this satyapradhyatvam, satyapradhyam means taking this oath, Krishna is saying like this, buddhva bhagavad bhakte avashyam bhavi moksha phalam avadharya bhagavad charanega parayano bhaved idi vakyartha. That Krishna has only one intention, saying because Krishna is giving you a guarantee here at the end, one should take it very seriously and know that through this bhakti process it is possible to finally reach that state of liberation at the end, and therefore surrender to Krishna. Karma yoga nishtayam param rahasyam ईश्वर शरणदाम उपसंहृत्य अथ इधानीं कर्मयोग निष्ठाफलम सम्यक दर्शनम सर्वेदांत विहितम वक्तव्यम इति अह. सो एंड कर्मयोगम विच कृष्णा हैज स्पोकन इन द बिगिनिंग, कर्मयोग निष्ठा, द सीक्रेट ऑफ दैट इज ऑल्सो अल्टीमेटली टू गेट अस क्लोसर टू कृष्णा. सो गोइंग बैक टू दिस, as I was mentioning before, that just like a newly married girl wait for the husband to come home, and just like her remembrance is always about him, Krishna is saying here that this smaranam, darshanam, kirtanam, all these things is anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means to make this mind not to go anywhere else, always to go towards Krishna somehow or the other. And the chanting the holy name is the simplest situation. Often you will see there, if one can do that, if you have nothing else to do, rather than allowing the mind to go after something else, to looking for some pleasure from something else outside, better learn to sit quietly without doing anything and chant the holy name as much as possible. So, why we have to do that? Because we feel that we are doing that, and after a while you will see that the person who is chanting and the holy name, these things will, you will see a relationship between the chanting the holy name and the person whom you are addressing the holy name to. You will see a relationship, and that will be avichinnam. Avichinna anubhava. Avichinna means there is no vichiti, there is no interruptions in there. So, once this experience, if one has a little bit in one's own inner experience, if it becomes, then what will happen is, you will know that you are not the proprietor of this body. You see, now whatever we may say about the body, still as soon as we understand that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I'm not this intelligence. We know very well it all belongs to Prakriti. Isn't it? Prakriti's product is this body. Is it not? We know that. And we also know that there is practically no real connection with this body for us at the moment. Even though we know that, still the first thing we get affected is when the body is affected. Why is it like that? It's a very amazing experience. We know that we are not the body. Krishna is saying to us, we are not the body. And we also understand, when you look at the logic and reasoning Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita, you can understand we are not the body. We are not the body. Body is not mine. And body is not for my enjoyment. These three things. Is it not? I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not for enjoyment. I've spoken about this many, many times before. Why I'm not this body? Why body is not mine? Body is not meant for enjoyment. Nothing in this body, I'm repeating again same thing what I said before. Nothing what's going on in this body is in my control. None of them. Breathing is concerned, blood circulation is concerned, digestion is concerned, evacuation is concerned, sleeping is concerned, eating is concerned. What control do I have on any one of them? And still I'm saying it's my body. So that itself shows that there is an external force which is controlling this body, not me. Is it not? It's easy to understand that. Eating is concerned, it's not in my control. When the hunger comes, I have to eat. So that means an external body is dictating to me and creating the hunger inside, and I feel hungry and I have to eat. That shows that it's not in my control as far as eating is concerned. Sleeping is concerned, I know very well, when I'm sitting and listening to something very seriously, I get good sleep. I go to sleepy mode, sleep mode. Even in the iPlayer, everywhere there's a sleep mode, isn't it? Computer also has got a sleep mode in there. But that sleep mode you can control, but this sleep mode you can't control. The sleep comes and you become fallen, controlled by the sleep. You control by the hunger, you control by the sleep. Similarly, when circulation is concerned, blood circulation, I have no clue what's going on inside. I haven't seen my kidney or my liver. Doctors are saying it is there. So therefore I believe it's there. Scientists are saying, isn't it? So it's there. But I haven't seen it. I may not see in my life my kidney. Suppose I die tomorrow, I have not seen my kidney. I go from this world without seeing my own kidney. I have not seen my liver. I have not seen my heart. I have not seen my brain. I have not seen anything. All I have seen is this form outside, and I am still saying, it's me, it's me. So practically you can see that we have no control over this body. Everything is controlled from another source whom we don't know. We call it as Prakriti now. And Prakriti has created each body in its own way. That is why every body is suffering from different problems. One body is suffering from cancer, another body is suffering from arthritis. Another one is suffering from heart problems. The third, fourth one is suffering from something else. So, why different bodies are getting different illnesses? If you ask the question, no answer. No answer. Okay, doctors will give you some sort of something to satisfy you. They'll show their big books and open it up and say to you that this is what it is, that's what it is. But they themselves get embarrassed with this body sometimes because they also don't know. That's the very nature of this body is such that we haven't got a clue what's going on inside this body, and still I'm saying it's my body. So body is not mine. That understanding I have to be very clear. And similarly, what Krishna is saying here is that if you follow this process, and one day it will so happen that this little bit of experience of the self starts working inside, then you will realize it that I am not the owner of this body. I am not the owner of this body. It's only a false impression in my head that body belongs to me. It is my body. It is like a car going on the street. This body is also going like this in the street. That's all. But the real me has nothing to do with that body. But this ajnanam or avidya in me is established it like this, that it is my body and I am this body. So it is not easy by saying one verse that it will go from inside. It won't go. It will only go when Krishna is saying, if you keep on chanting, surrendering, and the way Krishna has explained Bhagavata Dharma in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, Kayana Vajam and Sendhyarva, all these are activities to get rid of that ownership of the body. To get rid of the ownership of the body. In the nice way is devotees have spoken about this. There's a book in Tamil called Tirumandiram. Tirumular has written that. He mentions there that this body, the heart is the deity room. Heart is the deity room. And this is built from the food. The body has been created from the food. And there inside this, the deity is the Antaryami there, who is present there. And it is the eastern entrance where you enter into the temple, And if you have a good clarity inside, you will understand one day that today what I am saying is jiva, jiva, jiva. Or I am studying theory of the jiva now in the books. That's no use, isn't it? But the real jiva, which you are at the moment, you will see that that jiva is not separate from that Paramatma inside, from Antaryami. It is Antaryami's manifestation as the Antaryami's manifestation is this jiva. When Antaryami reflects in the Chaitanyam, reflects in the Chit. Chit is the vasana. Chit Shakti is the vasana of the subtle body. When it reflects in the Chit, what reflects that? That is that called a jiva. The reflection of the Antaryami in the Chit is called jiva. So, and that is what is also referred to as ahankaram in another way. Another terminology used is ahankaram. So, these five senses is constantly cheating us, saying to us, go and enjoy this, go and enjoy that, this is good, this is bad, in this way. So, when these self-realization happens in a person, these five senses in the body becomes like five wicks in a ghee lamp. It is burning, all the five senses, because they have lost its taste for gratification. Instead, the self-realization starts working through the senses, when the senses also becomes like the lamps which is burning inside. So that is, and when we become properly Krishna conscious, Krishna is saying here that that remembrance will get to such a stage. Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, surrender there. Sarvabhavena Bharata, Tal Prasadal Param Shandim, Sthanam Prapsesi Shashwadam. Connect with that Krishna's presence inside. And here he also says there that if the surrender is proper, or Krishna has put you into that state when you have completely surrendered, then the smriti, the realization is avichinam. Avichiti means there is no breakup. It will be continuous, which we don't have. Our smriti at the moment is vichiti, vichiti smriti. So, just like we can say that now and then, if we are little bit fortunate, we may remember Krishna. That's our present state. If we are fortunate, we may remember Krishna for a few seconds here or there. And that too, we have to put all our effort to get that remembrance of Krishna. To that extent, our situation now. Now, gopis are saying in the Bhagavadam, you can see in the Gopi Abhidham, they are saying like that, it is impossible for us to forget him. Look at the difficulty. We are saying it is impossible to remember him. Gopis are saying it is impossible to forget him. That is the difference. If you look into the Bhagavadam, you will see the words there in the Gopiya Gidam. Vismartam naiva shaknuma, he says. Vismartam naiva shaknuma. In the 10th chapter, Gopiya Gidam is 31 chapter. There Krishna is saying there, Vismartam naiva shaknuma. We are unable to forget Krishna. it is, I think it's before that. Vismartum naiva shaknuma. Gopis are saying that it is impossible for us to forget Krishna. Impossible for us to forget Krishna. Vismartum naiva shaknuma. So that is Gopi's situation. And they are saying there, is there any way you can tell us how to forget Krishna? How to forget Krishna? Now, this is where you'll understand it better. This last verse, Manmana Bhav Mad Bhakto. Gopis are saying, how can we forget Krishna? How can we? Vismartam naiva shaknuma. Gopis are asking, can you tell us some way that we can forget Krishna? Because you remember all that they had, Gopis had a very close relationship with Krishna. And then suddenly Krishna left. And Gopis were in a very difficult situation. They couldn't live their life properly in this world. On the one hand, they left home. And they have said goodbye to their husbands, to their parents. And they have practically written off the Gopis because of the situation with Krishna. And one day, Krishna is leaving them and gone. Krishna told them, you can go back to the family, everything will be okay. Go back and live there. But Gopis are saying, we can go back, but we can't forget you. You are going away. That relationship, that means they can't forget anymore. So, remember this. If it is in their mind, then they will forget. It is impossible. Suppose it is in the mind, it is impossible to remember it. If it is in the mind, this stage will not happen. Just like you can see, very serious incident happened in your life. Some very close member of your family died, or someone close to you, has got into very serious problems, and you have experienced it at that moment. But you will notice after 10-15 years, the impact is gone. Is it not? You don't feel the same as you felt at the day when it happened. Say like a death happened in the family. Husband died, wife died, or son died, or daughter died. Somebody died in the family. And you felt intense distress at the time when it happened. See, after 10-15 years, you're not feeling the same distress. Why is that? Reason is this. When you experience that distress, it was experienced in the mind. Nothing in the mind will stay permanent. Similarly, if this remembrance of Krishna, or Vismartum Naiva Shaknuma, Gopis are saying, that if Krishna has got inside them, if it was in their mind, over a period of time, it should have gone. If it was in the mind. But if it has entered into Atma, into the consciousness, it can remain permanent. This situation will happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. You see? Do you see what I'm saying? That with the mind, gopis were relating with Krishna, this would not happen. Vismartam naiva shaknuma won't happen. This has only happened because they have realized Krishna as Antaryami inside. That is why it is difficult to throw it away now. Impossible to break up anymore. It is so strongly bound now with Krishna. This is what I am saying. That is why that word, when you say Manmana Bhava Madbhakto, it is not the mind actually Krishna is talking about. Mind generally in the Shastram is referred to in relationship with the different emotions, thought waves. Once the thought waves have gone, only Atma is present there. Atma is experiencing everything directly. Antaryami has taken it. Control of the gopis. Their own Antaryamis have taken control of the gopis. And because Antaryamis have taken, now it is not possible to come out of it. It's not possible to come out of it. And that is why gopis are saying, Vismartum naiva shaknuma. We are incapable of forgetting Krishna. They are saying for that reason. That is why I'm saying that mind is not where Krishna consciousness happens. So, mind, whatever it may be, how long can you remember something? For some days or some weeks of mind. Even if you have a close relationship with someone, you can look back into your own life and see. At school days, you had some close friend, right? And then you have grown up, you got married, you had your own children, you moved away from home. Now, how much do you remember that school friend? That you will probably remember the form of that person when he was at school. And you have no knowledge what has happened to that person since then. He has gone away from your life completely. And you are not going to remember very much after that. It's gone. Why? It is in the mind. But here, Krishna is saying, gopis are saying to us, once Krishna gets in, it's not he gets into the mind. He doesn't get into the mind or intelligence. He goes directly into that heart where Antaryami is present. When Antaryami takes control, then that's it. Finished. You can't come back to this mind anymore after that. Even if you want to come back to the mind, it's not possible. That's how it is. Vismartam eva shaknuma. Therefore, you can see here that how many things can you remember in your mind? Mind has its own limitations. You can't remember all the students who went to school with you, can you? Who went to college with you? Hardly few names here and there you may remember now. All the teachers who have taught you can't remember all of them now. Where they have gone, what has happened to them. No idea, nothing. And you can't bother also about it because that's gone now. All that is inside the mind. All through your life, if you look back, you will see there is few things that is you are remembering, and that too, not in a very deep level, on the surface only. Most of them on the surface only. Krishna is not like that. That's the point. Krishna, once it gets in, it's not in the mind, it's not in the intelligence, it is in the prajna. That's why it's called prajna, atma. It is in the atma that realization happens, because mind is nothing but chittavritti. Chittavritti. Chittavritti means memory, forgetfulness, and all these things. This is what chittavritti means. Chittavritti means memory, forgetfulness, and all those things which happens with the mind. The only one thing what we can't forget is our identity, awareness of the self. That's the only thing in reality with us will stay always. It will not leave us. It cannot leave because you are that. How can you leave it? So, suppose we say, sometimes I will say, I forgot myself, you will say. But when you say that, actually what you are referring to is not about the self you are suffering. What you are saying there is, so I forgot myself. When you say you have forgotten about something what you want to do, or something what you promised to somebody to do, this is the things what you have forgotten. You have not forgotten, you can't forget yourself. Because that is what you are, that awareness inside. So that Swarupam, that is not Ahangaram. That's not false ego. That is Krishna. That thing, what you can't forget, which is your real Swarupam, that is Krishna. Whereas Atma, whereas the thing what you keep saying that I've forgotten this, I've forgotten that, who is saying that? Ahangaram. So this clarity is necessary inside. Ahangaram acts in one way in this world. Atma acts in a different way. That is why even recent times, if you look back into the great devotees and personalities, once they have reached that stage of Atma, in self-realized state, for them this world doesn't exist. This world doesn't exist. They come out of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, if you look, you will see. Loka Bahya, he says. Unmadavan Nrityadi Loka Bahya. People are trying to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He was thrown into the sea in the Bay of Bengal, in Jagannath Puri, and he was floating in the water. A fisherman put the net and brought him in. Isn't it? You know that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When he brought him in, all his hands and limbs or everything were loose, totally. They were not even... That is a state of that devotee. Of that stage. And that is what Krishna is talking about here. That state where you don't even have no connection, identification with the body at all. Completely escape from the body. Total freedom from the body. Krishna says this. This is what we have to look for in life. If this is the perfection. Not that we say about going back home, back to Godhead and all that. Thinking after have a good life here and a good life there as well. That may or may not happen. The life here will depend on the prarabdham here. Whatever we are getting, we'll get it. What you're not getting, you're not getting it. But this state, when we say all these things, people say, I don't want spiritual life. If this is what's going to happen at the end. Isn't it? So, though that is that state. avismriti. Avismriti means you cannot forget it anymore. So, up to that point, when this happens, then akhanda smriti, unbroken memory, won't be there. And that cannot, akhanda smriti. Akhanda smriti means this uninterrupted, unbroken memory cannot happen in the platform of the mind. With the mind, it cannot happen. So therefore, that is why I'm saying, when you read that verse, you must be conscious of this fact, that manmana bhavam, normally how does people interpret that? They say, oh, think about Krishna all the time. It's easy to say that, isn't it? How much can you think about Krishna? Every night before you go to bed, you look to yourself and see how many times you remembered Krishna in the particular day. If you have remembered once, you should say, consider you fortunate. Some days goes like this, because we are so busy in this world, and this particular verse, when Krishna is saying, manmana bhava mad bhakto, when you read in the 9th chapter, and now you have to keep this in mind, that this is spoken in what stage? When you can forget your own mind and able to be completely come out of the mind, it is at that time this manmana bhava mad bhakto will work. Not otherwise. Not in our present state, when we are struggling with our body and the mind and the senses and the ego and everything. What manmana bhava mad bhakto will happen to us? So, important thing is that akhanda smriti, akhanda it is. Akhanda means unbroken and uninterrupted, continuous flow will only happen when you have come to the platform of the soul. It cannot happen in the manomandalam. In the platform of the mind, it cannot happen. Because when the mind goes, that will also go. For example, if you become unconscious, or if you have gone into samadhi state, or if you have gone to deep sleep, in all these three states, your mind is not there. So it will go. It is not akhandam anymore, isn't it? It's not akhandam anymore. Then, apart from that, between two thought waves, chitavritti, also there is a gap. That gap is also you won't remember Krishna. So, similarly, if you got absorbed in some big vyavaharam in this world, some business or some transactions in this world, will you remember Krishna? People always ask this question, how will I remember when I am doing this work, that work? People ask this question, don't they? And it is a very valid question. People always ask this question. In all the classes you will see, Krishna is saying like this, manmana bhava mad bhakto. You ask even the devotees who are staying in the temple, do they remember Krishna 24 hours, you think? They may have the dress and all that. They may be doing so many things. But ahangaram could be very much there, present there. You're not remembering Krishna at that time. So remembering Krishna means, if you are in that state, then you won't be staying in the temple, won't you? The fact that you are not able to do it, that's why you are staying in the temple. To find somewhere where you can do it. But it's not possible. So, manmana bhava mad bhakto is not in the platform of the mind. It's only in the platform of the soul. Platform of the soul. That is why, after saying all the other things, which one? Brahma bhuta prasanna alpa, all Krishna has spoken before, after that this verse is spoken. For this reason only. That mind, which is nothing but chitavritti thought waves. Because by now, it's not anymore mind. It's not change. It is chit shakti now. Chit shakti is operating. So all these personalities like Shukha Brahma Rishi, Sudev Goswami, and also Dattatreya Maharshi, Rishabhadev, and Jadabharata and all that, they have no mind. There is no mind operating. If you say mind is operating, means there is ragam, dvesham, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam. All these problems are there, but they don't have that. They have no enemies, isn't it? They have no friends, no enemies. They have gone beyond all these things. So this is only possible even while conducting vyavaharam in this world, this awareness has to come. That means inside that lamp, Antaryami is present there. And only self-realized jnanis, only they can be this manmana bhava mad bhakto is possible. It is not possible for ordinary people. But remember this, why Prabhupada said that? It made it very simple. By the way, Prabhupada has written there. Reason for that is, at least it will be a beginning for everybody. If it helps you to take to spiritual life, there is no harm in saying that. It is from that point that Krishna has, Prabhupada has written that. When bhakti manmana bhavam. So generally what people say, oh, it's very simple, Krishna consciousness, isn't it? It's so simple. All you have to do is to think of me, think of Krishna, pay your obeisances, and offer the prasadam, and do some service. Everything is perfect, you think. It is not so. We have to also ask the question, is this possible? Isn't it? Otherwise, what's the point in saying something? It's only possible for a self-realized person who has reached that state and who have come through this life properly with enough sadhana and enough realizations. And when he has realized the Brahma Buddha Prasannatma stage, all he has passed, after that, what he will do will be this verse. So, they are important thing, because in his experience it is there. It is not in his brain. It's not in his mind anymore. It is in his realizations. And what is happening there? What is happening to him at that time? He is looking at his own body, and he is feeling that he has nothing to do with me. His own body. That's what his experience level. In his own mind, he is saying, it has nothing to do with me. It's not me. And intelligence, he is saying, it's nothing to do with me. So, therefore, he says, but what is the nature of ahankaram? Now, this is the nature of Atma, what we have spoken now. What's the nature of ahankaram? Ahankaram is saying here that ahankaram is always telling you that it binds us with the body, binds us with the mind, binds us with the intelligence. The link between the real self inside and this body is this ahankaram. Ahankaram is the real self. So, and when you become absorbed in this Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam, what you are actually realizing is there that this Nitya Shuddha, because Krishna is saying here, Nityam Shuddham Buddham Mukta Swarupam, eternal, always pure, fully conscious, always liberated. That's us. That's our real identity. And I'm not having any experience. All I have now is the activities of ahankaram. That's what is in me going on. So, when that Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam or that experience of the self comes, you have by then seen that Antaryami is the one they are referring to. Krishna is referring to that Antaryami inside. Because these are all the nature of the Antaryami, not the nature of the ahankaram. Which one? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. It's the nature of the Antaryami. Jnanam. Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayat Jnanam. Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavaniti Shabdade. What is Advayat Jnanam? Advayat Jnanam is the nature of the Antaryami inside. Advayat Jnanam inside. Similarly, and that is the reality. And once we have known this, then it will never leave us again. It cannot leave us because it is such an experience and realization inside, it cannot leave us. Where is it spoken? It's spoken in the Lalita Sahasranama. If you see, look at Lalita Sahasranama says, Talpada Lakshyatam Chidega Rasarubini. Mentions there, Chidega Rasarubini. That chidrasam that you will experience, that is Brahma Vidya. That is Brahma Vidya. Sri Parvati is another name. Brahma Vidya. That's what it is. So, Tattvamasi Vedanta Vakyam Talpada Lakshyartam Chidega Rasarupini Chidega Rasam Chitsarupam. In the Upanishads mentions like this. So, at that point, when you say I, what does that mean? It means that you have come out of the grip of the body, the mind, the intelligence. You have come out of the grip of all these things and purely as consciousness or awareness or bodham or prajna or jnapti or sutralpa, whichever way you want to call it. This is all terminology in the Bhagavatam used. You remain in that state. That is what Krishna is saying. And that will be without any uninterrupted it is, vichitti, no breakup. And when it happens that, what will happen to the mind at that time? Mind has no more capacity to hold on to any of the other thought ways what it had before, like greed, anger, lust, and so many other things, the impurities. Mind cannot take it on board anymore. Mind can bind becomes what they call it as Brahmagaram. Brahmagaram means it has become with Brahma. It has become Brahma. Now what's interesting here is, remember this, in the same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, mind is the most difficult thing to control. Is it not? And now Krishna is saying, surrender your mind all the time to me. How will you compromise these two? That's what the difficulty is. That's why mind, and so many places Krishna has spoken about how to get rid of the mind. The mind is the whole problem. Subtle body. Krishna is saying, this word mind has got meaning like this. Buddhi is included in the mind. Whole subtle body is referred to as mind. That means manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. They are all called mind according to the person who is using it. So here the word mind is referring to the whole subtle body. That means our vasanas, chittavritti and ahankaram. These are all part of the mind now in this terminology, in this moment. So when we are purified, when that Krishna consciousness entered inside and realization has happened, what has happened then? At that time, the whole subtle body gets killed. There is no more subtle body. It is that stage what Krishna said in the Ekadasham. Dehastobi na dehasta. Vidwan supnad yathotida. Adehastobi na dehasta. Kumadi supnad yatha. Famous verse in the Bhagavatam. That's why I was saying that when it is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, no compromise. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has made certain compromises. He has done that deliberately. Because you have to remember, one was spoken to Arjuna, other was spoken to Uddhava. Even in the Srimal Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada also commented that, says there, that the Prochodhavayaja Param Samagal Swathama, the highest realization, topmost realization, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. What he has not spoken to Arjuna, and then he left the planet. When Krishna left the planet, that's how he left. Prochodhavayaja Param. Prochodhavayaja Param means the highest realization. Param means the topmost realization, Prochya, spoken to Uddhava, and then Samagal Swathama, went back to the spiritual world. Therefore, Ekadasha Skandam is without any compromise. Whatever Krishna has spoken there is absolute. Totally absolute. In Bhagavad Gita, because it was spoken to Arjuna, there is a slight mellowing there. It hasn't given that precision where he spoke to Uddhava. He has given a little bit of, like you will see, Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti is not discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Whereas in the Ekadasham, that is spoken very strongly in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So there will be so many differences. Particularly, the only thing we can say is that the differences is this, that you have to see the situation in which it has been spoken. Whilst talking to Arjuna, to that extent, Krishna has not been fine-tuned it. Whereas in Ekadasham, its fine-tuning has been done with the Vedantam. The fine-tuning is in the Ekadasha Skandam, but it's a little bit mixed with other things in the Bhagavad Gita. That doesn't mean that Bhagavad Gita is anyway inferior. At least if you get Bhagavad Gita into our head, it will be still better. Ekadasham we can see. Ekadasham is too high to come to. Especially some of the things what Krishna has spoken there in the Ekadasham. You can imagine, you will think always when you hear that, is it ever possible to reach that stage? That's the impression. First thought that will come to you when you hear Ekadasha Skandam, isn't it? Is it ever possible to reach this stage what Krishna is talking about? So, anyway, So, at that time, that when ahankaram has completely gone away from inside, I'm talking about this verse now, manmanabhava madbhaktom. When ahankaram is not coming back again, normally the nature of ahankaram is like this. Suppose I get kicked heavily, I get a good kick, then I'll become suddenly humble, isn't it? My ego will come to a lower level. But then, say tomorrow everything goes fantastic in life, what happens? I feel I'm the top of the world. This is the nature of this ahankaram, how it operates inside. So Krishna is saying here, when ahankaram never wakes up again inside, never again you feel that you are that false ego, you are identifying, operating like that in this world, that Ahankaram is not waking up inside, then you will understand what this verse means. Which one? Manmana bhavam bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mamaveshe satyante pradijane priyosimi. Only at that time you will understand this verse. Otherwise it's not possible. So so that is why, because only if you have the mind you can say manmana bhava. Manmana bhava, isn't it? But by now what has happened is the mind, instead of becoming it has become, instead of which was in the consciousness of the body, mind and intelligence, now the mind has become Brahmagaram. It has become Brahma, in other words that, like Shuga Brahmarshi, you remember, some sarvabhuta hridayam present in everyone. So he has gone up a lot higher in that stage. That's where it happens. There's a lot more to say before we go into this Sarvadharman Paritijya, so which we'll discuss it tomorrow then. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.